Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 24th, 1996.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, as the case may be across all these many time zones. Great to have you here from the Hawaiian and Tahitian Islands in the west to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgins in the east. Hammocks, native girls, visions of both in both. Down south into South America, north to the pole, and worldwide on the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. Good morning. I would like to first announce tomorrow night, Richard C. Hoagland. In case I didn't get that word to you last night, tomorrow night, Richard C. Hoagland will be here. And for once, I'm not altogether sure what he wants to talk about. He was very... I'm not sure what the right word is. Secretive. That's the right word. Secretive. I think it relates somehow to Egypt, Giza, what's going on, but he's holding it all pretty close to the vest. So we'll see what's up tomorrow night with Richard Hoagland. All right. There's been a riot in Florida, in a Florida city, St. Petersburg. The shooting of a black motorist there by police has sparked what authorities are calling a major riot in St. Petersburg. They say crowds in a predominantly black neighborhood where the shooting took place threw rocks, bricks, bottles, set fire to cars and businesses. Authorities say many people, including police officers, were injured in the riot, which they say is now pretty well contained. The riot reportedly began this evening after a black motorist, get this, was shot and killed by police when his car lurched forward during a traffic stop. Now, let's roll over that one more time. The riot reportedly started this evening after a black motorist was shot and killed by police when his car lurched forward during a traffic stop. Now, what's this all about? This is not clear. What I saw on television was not clear. The news conference the mayor of St. Petersburg had was not clear with respect to what happened. This sure as hell isn't clear. His car lurched forward during a traffic stop. Huh? Why would an officer have a gun out during a traffic stop? Or had they determined something and the officer had the gun out and had it pointed at the suspect and the car lurched forward and jogged the gun, going off and killing the motorist? Or do they mean by this the man began an attempted getaway, but even then you wouldn't shoot somebody? Right? So I have no idea what's happened here. And if anybody in Florida can shed any light on this, I think I'd like to know what the hell happened. Because I, you know, if there's wants and warrants and they're serious, then the officer would have pulled a gun. Maybe. But they would have had the suspect get out of the car. And I can't imagine a circumstance where the gun would be extended into the automobile. That wouldn't make sense to me. So if they drew the gun when the car lurched forward or began to try to get away, that wouldn't make sense either, unless it was a murder warrant or something. So I have no idea what's happened here, and I'm going to need somebody's help in St. Pete. Tell me what happened here, one of you anyway, who knows more than I know about this. Well, as you know, Bob Dole has sent his campaign manager down to Ross Perot's campaign headquarters to try to get Perot to drop out of the race and endorse Bob Dole. Perot basically said, nuts. Famous general once said that. That's basically what Perot has said, nuts. Perot did launch a bunch of vocal barbs at the president. But turned Dole down flat, and it was not a good idea. He should not have asked. It has backfired. I'm poor Bob Dole. It just has not gone well for Bob Dole. Perot predicts a second Watergate in 1997, and I think he's probably correct. The polls during all of this continued to widen a week and a half before the election for Clinton. It has been a terrible, terrible, terrible campaign. Terrible. This one's going to go down in the history books as one of the worst in all of American history, I think. O.J. Simpson's lawyers harshly, here he is back in the news again, harshly attacked the character of his murdered former wife in court Thursday. Gee, you remember how much he was saying he loved her? Didn't he say that? That he really loved her? And that even when she had an affair, he took it he took it mildly. Remember that? But in court, wow. Simpson's lawyers accused Nicole Brown Simpson of partying with prostitutes and drug users, having an abortion, just really, really going after Nicole's character, to the point that the Brown family walked out of the courtroom. The TWA 800 flight has recovered possibly a critical piece of evidence, a fuel probe. A fuel probe that shows damage that might prove that the probe itself blew up, exploded, kind of like a detonator in the fuel tank. They're not sure, but they're looking into that. They've got a suspect, a Saudi dissident in the bombing of the barracks in Saudi Arabia that killed 24 Americans. We'll see. Here is an amazing story. And really, I need Father Malachi Martin to even begin to talk about this, I suppose. Pope Paul II... brace yourself, is lending his support to the theory of evolution, Darwinism. What? In a written message to a body of experts that advises the Roman Catholic Church on scientific issues, Pope said evolution is, I'm telling you, brace yourself, quote, more than just a theory, end quote. And belief in it is compatible with Christian faith. The Pope's statement breaks some new ground, boy, that's putting it mildly, by acknowledging the validity of the theory of the physical evolution of man and other species through natural selection and hereditary adaption. The Pope made clear he regards the human soul as divine creation and not subject to the evolutionary process. Holy smokes! I agree with the Pope, by the way, but nevertheless, holy smokes, I have always felt that evolution and creation have no problem going hand in hand, and I have fought about that for years. The hand of God in evolution, the hand of God in the soul of man, no question about it. But evolution, pretty much scientifically verifiable. But I am amazed, absolutely nothing short of amazed, at what the Pope has said. And I wonder how you feel about it. I wonder how a lot of Christians out there feel about it. I imagine there are some ruffled Christian feathers this morning. Well, the deformed frog story is growing, by leaps and bounds. And I don't mean to belittle this at all. A couple of days ago, there was a rush job, and somebody came out and said, well, we think it's parasites. Parasites in snakes being given to frogs And that's what's causing all of this. There have been no genetic deformities found yet, or problems with the genome. They're still looking. So the next logical thing that one would look for, and these frogs are now beginning to turn all over the place, the next logical answer would be, we've got pollution at work here. Somebody dumped something someplace, and the frogs absorbed it into their skin. Problem with that is, they're being found all over the place. So unless somebody dumped something simultaneously in many, many parts of the world, I just don't see how it can be pollution. Do you? Most striking, according to the scientists that we have talked with thus far, would not be the multiple legs on the back of the frog. Those have occurred before. Rare, but it has occurred. What is troubling scientists greatly are the eyes. Missing eyes. Eyes in their throats. Eyes in places where eyes ought not be. Linda Moulton Howe is hot on the track of this story. And we'll see where it goes, but the thing they came out with a couple days after the frogs began to show up about the parasites, now considered by most scientists to be very unlikely as a cause, and frankly, they are completely stumped. They have no idea what's causing this. I mean, you tell me, California, to Texas, to Minnesota, to Montreal, to Vermont, to Japan, what could do that? Some single polluting source? I think not. And with respect to yesterday's very, very, very troubling program, somebody wrote their epitaph to me. And it simply says, sometimes I think the world has gone completely mad. Then I think to myself, ah, who cares? Then I think to myself, hey, what's for supper? And I know how that faxer feels. Last night, Art, you continued to refer to the nature of man. I believe what we are witnessing is not the nature of man, but the nature of the beast. This is important because the beast has not yet made a physical appearance. I believe that Major Dames and Father Martin will be talking more about this in the future. Remember that Father Martin made the distinction between Lucifer and Satan. Satan is the beast. Lucifer, the dragon. And the battle is for our souls. What we are seeing is the awesome powers that Lucifer and Satan have to influence events in this realm, on this planet, to make us lose faith or our belief system. All right, in a moment, we are going to go to open lines. That's what we're going to do tonight, because tomorrow night, Richard Hoagland is going to be here. And again, I know not what he is going to say. He's keeping this one very close to himself. And so my comment was, well, Richard, I don't know what this is all about. And he said, well, then you will ask very good questions. I said, yes, I suppose so. So we'll see. But I know it has something. At least I think it has something to do with Egypt and NASA.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 24, 1996.
It's a big, nearly full moon up there. And I may. Now this is just May, depending on the situation, decide to play some Truth or Trash later. Haven't played Truth or Trash in a long, long time, and it's a lot of fun. You know, it's a lot of fun if the moon is in the right phase and the stories are good. It's a lot of fun. I just sort of put that story in the back of your mind. Truth or Trash is a game where we allow somebody to come on the air, and I take stories from you. I have one truth or trash line. And if you have a totally weird story, something Rod Serling would be proud of, then we'll allow you to lay it out here and allow a panel to judge whether your story is truth or utter garbage. Trash. And it's kind of fun if the stories are good. So I'm almost in the mood to do that. We'll see as the morning wears on. I'm going to take, but we'll go with open lines probably between now and the top of the hour, and maybe the whole night long. I don't know. We'll see. East of the Rockies, you are number one on the air this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Hi.
Hey, I had a question about the reverse speech.
Okay.
All right, have you ever asked the man if, say, you took a prominent speech out of the past, like, say, Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, and had two or three different people read it, and you recorded each person?
Wouldn't work.
Wouldn't work.
Wouldn't work. And the reason is that you are wishing to read the reversed speech of the person who gave the address and judge their truthfulness or their untruthfulness, lack of it. And the only way you can do that is by that specific person. Different people reading it would give different results.
Okay. And I heard him the other night where you gave the where you taped the debate. Is he going to tape the president when he accepted speech and see how that sounds?
Isn't that slightly presumptive, sir?
I'm dead. Whoever becomes president.
I don't know. I suppose so, yeah. he tapes major events. So I certainly would think so, yes.
And you know when you'll have him back on again?
Shortly. Soon.
All right, then. Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Thank you. Shortly soon. Maybe next week, depending on political events. We'll see. Backward speech. You see, it is of the person of their particular thoughts, and therefore substituting somebody else who would read somebody else's words just wouldn't get it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art.
Hello.
Tim in Denver, Cow Country.
Hi, Tim.
I just wanted to mention, in today's edition of the Rocky Mountain News, the newspaper, page 52E, there's a little write-up that mentions you. I'd like to fax it to you, but I've forgotten your fax number. I don't have it with me.
Well, okay.
Okay.
do you want it? It's
yeah.
Area code 702.
Got that part.
Oh, good. 727-8499.
Great.
And what, pray tell, does it say?
Well, I'll just send it to you and you can read it. How's that?
Is it unkind?
No, huh?
Well, tell me what it says then.
Well, I'll let you read it for yourself.
All right. If you have a choice on your fax machine, make sure you put it on light because newspaper stories a lot of times don't come out too well.
Right. I usually darken it up before I send it out.
I see.
So I was going to do that for you, but curiosity is up over tomorrow night's show.
Tell me about it. I don't even know. I mean, can you imagine Richard's comment to me? I ask him what it's about, and he kind of hems and haws and really doesn't want to tell me. And so I come on, Richard, I got to know what it's about. He said, well, then you'll ask good questions.
But, Art, you always ask good questions. That's one of the reasons we like to listen to you. You're always asking the questions that we're thinking that we would like to ask ourselves.
I hope so.
Okay, have a good night.
Hey, wait, one last thing, Tim.
Sure.
The Pope getting next to evolution here. What do you think about it? It's kind of surprising, isn't it?
It is very surprising. I wish it would have happened before Malachi Martin was on. That would have been a great
You're absolutely right, and I would love to ask Malachi.
But it is something that would take an ordinary individual right back.
Well, you know what? I didn't even bring it up with Malachi. I mean, here he is, a Catholic priest, and you would think normally you could ask a question like that, but you would certainly presume the answer would be, oh, Art, how can you ask somebody like me a question like that? But maybe the answer's changed officially now. That's incredible. All right, thanks. Thank you, my friend. I'll look forward to it.
Okay, bye-bye.
See you later. All right. Well, I'll read it to you when we get it.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 24, 1996.
Good morning, everybody. Well, I'm still not clear, but here from Florida is a fax on St. Pete and what's going on there. The St. Pete riot. Art, it seems a motorist attempted to run over the officer who then shot him. The officer, was almost run over, then shot him. I would have a number of questions about this as well. Why would the officer in a traffic stop be in front of the car? He shouldn't be. Shouldn't have been. Can't imagine why he would have been. It does clear up, though, why the guy was shot. Now, if he tried, whatever the circumstance, if this guy tried to kill a cop, then all bets are off. It's that simple. I mean, that is attempted murder, and you defend yourself with lethal force, period. So if this was in an intentional attempt to murder, then the officer did exactly what the officer was supposed to do. He drew his gun and defended his life. But it still sounds weird. The officer should not have been in front of the car, and I can only assume it's in front because the story says the car lurched forward. So this is far from clear. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, hi, Art.
Hello.
Yeah. Reference to that St. Petersburg thing.
Yes, sir.
Okay. One case or the other.
I beg your pardon?
One case or the other. We've had a case in St. Louis where a black man was killed by a Mexican man.
What does this have to do with St. Petersburg, though?
There wasn't a riot then.
But what does this have to do with St. Petersburg? I mean, there have been people killed all over the place.
White man, and that's a case to have a riot, okay?
No, you look, until we know the details, we're just spouting off at the mouth here. We don't know.
No. Yes, okay, there wasn't any details. In terms of the Mexican man, okay?
Well, forget that. We're not talking about the incident in St. Louis, whatever it was. We're talking about...
No, we're drawing comparison, Art.
Well, how can you compare until you have something to compare
Art,
to?
Let's talk about something else.
Well, let's
just get off on something else.
Go right ahead, sir. Okay. You go wherever you want.
Okay, number one is you're talking about the Pope and Darwin theory.
I reported on what the Pope said.
Let me just say, Art.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay, Art. Why didn't you make a big point when science came out and said that there's no correlation between Neanderthal man and humankind?
I can't speak for the Pope.
No. I'm talking about science. If we're talking about science, you didn't make a big point of that. In reference to Hoagland,
what?
You had the man on who you extolled more than anybody else in your lifetime.
No, I don't.
Yes, you did.
No,
the
I don't.
Who wrote the different novels.
Goodbye. I know who you are. You're the same guy that called the other night. I finally recognized your voice there. You're the guy who said, Art, you're rude. That's who you are. And you were on the Hoagland thing the other night, too. I'm very good, sir, with voices. And what you just ran through there was an utter exercise in futility and stupidity. And if it was designed to get me angry, that's probably it did a very good job. Because you can't talk about St. Petersburg with an utter lack of knowledge, and I certainly admit an utter lack of knowledge about what happened, and you certainly haven't, and boil it just down to a white man, black man deal. You don't know what the hell happened there. And to start talking about whatever occurred in St. Louis, whatever that was, has no relationship, bears no relationship to what has occurred in St. Petersburg, because you don't know what happened there. And as far as Richard Hoagland is concerned, this goes back to your call the other day, I don't extol Richard more than any other human being. Richard is a damn good guest. Richard is a very good guest. But do I hold him up as one would a heroic figure beyond all others? No. So your call was all over the place, going nowhere productive. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, Art?
Hi.
Yes, I just want to say I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
And, you know, I also want to say that on the frog thing,
yes,
you know, there are many prominent scientists, including a Dr. Bill Wattenberg out of KGO in San Francisco,
yes,
who do not believe that we have an ozone depletion due to something we have done. And I think that we should listen to some of these scientists before we make a judgment. You know, groups like the Sierra Club in our...
Just a matter of curiosity, what does Bill think the frogs are, the deformities are due to?
I don't know, Art. He hasn't talked about that. I'd like to get through to him this weekend and talk to him about it. But it could be a mutation that is occurring from a natural phenomenon. You know, much of the ozone is depleted through volcanoes and things in our universe.
That's absolutely correct. And the ozone hole is presently about twice the size of Europe, is the latest report. Now, I don't know whether we did it. I don't say that. I just say it is. It is a fact. Whoever did it, a volcano or whoever, it is real. And even Bill, I'm sure, would not deny that, that the NASA measurements have been... very specific.
Well, I'd like to get him to talk about it. And another thing, just let me say that on the endangered species, you know, we think that this is something that is just occurring in our lifetimes and in the 20th century. But since the Earth began, like 400 million years ago, 99% of all of the animals that have ever lived are now extinct. So, you know, I mean, we're so egotistical as human beings, we think that this is just something, we have to look at the big picture. And I'm kind of tired of all these ego freaks, you know.
Well, there is one thing to bear in mind.
Yes.
You said, since the world began, your statement, 99% of all species are extinct, right?
Yes, up until this point.
I do not think the globe is going to suddenly stop, or that all life is going to end. But our place on the globe could be entirely displaced very easily.
Yes.
Yes?
Well, yes, true, but I think we should, we have to take care of the environment, Art, but I think we need to look at the big picture. And before, like I said, we let groups like the Sierra Club and our government scare us, make sure that what is happening is something that we can control.
All right, well, all of this, thank you, is not coming from the Sierra Club. Believe me, the story on the frogs is not a Sierra Club press release. The story on the frogs is coming from all over the world. And while it certainly might be true that there's a pollution problem, to have a pollution problem simultaneously across the U.S., all the way to Japan, seems unlikely. I can easily understand that an area or even a river or a system could be polluted. But that doesn't account for these deformities in Vermont, Montreal, California, Texas, Missouri, Minnesota, the Dakotas, in Japan. It just can't account for all of that at once, can it? Or if it can, then explain to me how that could occur. That's all. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Art Bell.
Yes.
Oh, great program. I have a prediction about tomorrow night with Richard.
Oh, do you now? All right.
Yeah.
All right. Make it.
I bet he'll talk about an extraterrestrial colony on Earth's moon.
On Earth's moon?
Yes. I was listening to you online, and I went to sightings, and they go sightings in the news, and it says exactly what I just said.
Somebody has discovered this?
It says it's him. That's what he's going to discuss.
On my show?
No, it just said on sightings in the news, and it just said that he was talking about, you know, the moon, and then also about Mars, and it said that he's going to be talking about this. So I figure it's going to be on your program.
All right.
But it's
on the
website on Sci-Fi.
Okay. Well, okay. Maybe that'll be it.
I hope so.
All right. Well, that's not a prediction. That's a piece of information. Of course, they could be wrong. I think that it relates to Egypt. But frankly, I'm guessing. He hasn't told me. Richard hasn't told me. So we'll find out. West of the Rockies, you're on. Whoops, would have been. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning. Going once.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, I had a comment about the evolution.
Yes, sir. Where are you?
I'm coming from Russellville, Arkansas.
All right.
Okay, I'm an apostolic Christian.
Yes, sir.
And I believe that things evolve as their conditions change.
Right.
You know?
That's evolution.
But according to the Bible, he says that God created man in his own image and in his own likeness. And like a monkey, for instance, it doesn't seem to be the image of God. And if we did evolve from monkeys, then how come monkeys are still walking around? And that's all I wanted to comment on evolution. Thank you.
You're welcome. Maybe when we get... What if we get up to the Pearlies and there sits a great big Persian cat? Judgment Day. How did you treat cats while you were on Earth? First question. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi there. Good evening, Art.
Good evening, sir.
Yeah, you know, I live in southern part of the coastal Oregon, and, you know, my frogs all have four legs, two in the front, two in the back.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, anyway, I wanted to mention something. You were mentioning an ozone, and I'm a ham operator. And I was, at the time, I was living down in Mountain View near San Francisco and San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to get really lucky one night on 10 meters.
Oh, that is lucky in the last few years.
Oh, lucky. And anyway, and there was a skip coming across, and there was this geological expedition sitting somewhere on a block of ice, I guess, in Antarctica.
Right.
And it was, about five or six people there, I guess, and this little lady was on the... I don't know, she was only on about 100 watts. But anyway, and she was talking to me about, about half a dozen other hams, and she was discussing the fact they were up there to study the hole in the ozone, and what was missing them was the fact that the hole was closing and it was supposed to open.
When was this?
About 7 years ago.
Oh, seven years ago.
Yeah,
well,
it's been at least 7 years ago, and at that time they were already concerned about the... all of the pollutants in the air and the air conditioning and all that, and they were amazed that it was doing the reverse of what they thought it would do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, so much for that. But right now, my refrigerant for my car, I need some right now. It cost me $40 a pound.
Yep, it's getting real expensive.
Pretty pathetic, really.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's all I had to say to you.
All right, take care, sir. Yeah, pathetic. They're having to... Well, CFCs, or something that uses CFCs, has simply become much more expensive. But the switch is on to another refrigerant, and that's going to cost everybody a bunch of money, too. I don't know. With respect to the ozone hole, I'll tell you straight out, I don't know. But I certainly am not beyond looking at the evidence, and this thing about the frogs right now is genuinely worrisome. We need to figure out why. And why it could be so geographically diverse. What else on a global scale could do this? Anybody have any ideas on a global scale? What could do this? Any thoughts? Pollution is the obvious answer, but the geographic diversity just about rules that out. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Hi, I just thought I'd give you kind of an off-the-wall suggestion as to what might be causing the frogs.
Oh, sure.
Okay, I'm just wondering if the same species or alien or whatever that's mutilating the cattle and taking the blood out of animals and leaving no traces might be using that blood, getting DNA out of it, and doing bioengineering on us.
Well, you saw the same movie I did, didn't you?
No, I just
frog,
saw this.
Frog DNA, you remember frog DNA? You don't remember that?
No.
No?
No, I didn't see that. What picture was this?
You never saw a movie where they used frog DNA to create a link to dinosaurs?
Huh, what's the name of it? Unless you're stumping me here, are you? You're not pulling me a fast one, are you?
No.
Okay.
No.
What's
There's
the name
a very,
of that?
A very famous movie. I'm not telling you. I'm making you guess. Now, what famous movie had as its storyline an island off, I think it was South America, where they put together a theme park about dinosaurs?
Well, okay, I just didn't see it.
You don't remember the name of that movie?
Oh, now it's starting to dawn on me.
Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
And they used,
I didn't see it.
They used a frog DNA to create the links for the portion of the DNA they did not have of the dinosaurs.
Maybe the writer of that movie knows something we don't then.
Yeah, that could be. That could be. Anyway, it is puzzling and troubling, and we need to get to the bottom of why this is occurring.
It doesn't seem that something that can travel remote distances in a short period of time, it seems like all of these deformities have been found over a large area in a relatively short period of time, have they not?
Correct.
So
you've got to imagine something on a global scale, or I suppose Doug and Dave of the alien world up there zipping around doing this to our frogs. That wouldn't be my first guess.
Well, that's my entry.
Okay, all right. I appreciate the call, sir. Thank you. We'll be right back. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, CMS, Redding, California.
Well, hello there.
Hey, Dr. Wattenberg attributed the frog to its natural for genetic mutation.
Well, unfortunately, scientists looking at the genome have as yet found no problems.
Well,
so in other words,
if there is a
change in the genetic structure of the frog, then it should be apparent when they look at the frog's DNA, and it is not apparent.
Yeah. You want to hear my millennium theory?
Sure.
Well, you know, Halloween is time that a lot of traditions honor their dead because they think that, like, our world and the spirit world are closer together. And so they have, you know, little ceremonies to honor their ancestors and stuff like that.
Right. But,
you know, a lot of those traditions follow, like, seasonal cycles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and it's really interesting, that's also, like, their new year. And so I was thinking, maybe the millennium is the same type of thing, only on a much grander scale, and that's why we have, like, the quickening and all that. Because, like, the spirit world and our world, like, maybe the door is wider open or something because of the millennium.
Hmm.
Interesting, huh?
It is interesting, and I hadn't thought about it before, but I shall.
You want to hear my population, overpopulation theory?
Sure.
Well, I was thinking about how we're overpopulated, and I was also thinking about how people predict, like, the coming calamities and major earth changes and all that?
Yes.
I was thinking, maybe the earth allows us to overpopulate so that our chances of surviving a major earth-wide calamity will be better.
Well, that's one theory. It's still not a very pretty theory.
No, it's not a very pretty theory, but at least some of us will survive. And not only that, probably the strongest of us.
What do you think? Would you be a survivor?
Yep.
You think so?
Yep.
Out there, raggedy-taggedy, walking around.
I'd look awful, too.
Sort of a Mad Maxine thing?
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I'd be like, too.
I know it is.
I
know. That's right. Your hair all ratty. It's like I can close my eyes and I can see you. dirt smudges on your face.
Uh-huh.
Probably a motorcycle.
Oh, yeah. A little bit of whatever scraps of leather I can pick up.
A lot of leather.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a lot of leather.
Oh, you're full of it.
I know.
You wouldn't look like that.
I bet you would.
What would you be like?
I'd be one of the Grateful Dead.
Oh, nuh-uh. You'd be sitting up on your tower of technology looking down on all of us plebeians.
No, I think not.
Hey, you know what?
What?
You're rude, and I like it.
Do you?
Yeah. If you weren't rude, I wouldn't listen to you.
Get off my radio station.
Okay.
Goodbye. Sort of, yeah, I picture her right. Mad Maxine. Well, I can't give her another name. She's already 10. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. Steve from South Dakota.
Hi, Steve.
Yes, say on Flight 800.
Yes.
I found it sort of scary that those two pieces of wreckage found today having to do with that central fuel tank was in the general area that Ed Dames had talked about.
Well, that's correct, yes.
That's sort of scary.
A lot of what Ed Dames says is scary, Steve.
Yeah, it is. Now, I'm not going to venture a guess about what my favorite guest will talk about tomorrow night. Whatever he talks about seems to relate so well to science. So I'm just going to tell you that I can hardly
wait. He's on to something big, Steve. That's all I can tell you, yeah. And he won't tell me what it is. So
I'll sure be listening.
Well, won't we all? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Right, he really won't tell me. I pressed him pretty hard, too. And I guess he needs to gather some last-minute information or something. Anyway, we'll find out. It'll be tomorrow. That's Richard Hoagland. You don't want to miss that one tonight. Open lines and more or less, whatever comes up.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 24th, 1996.
Hey, hey, hey. Open lines tonight. Tomorrow night, Richard C. Hoagland with a mystery. He won't tell me what he's going to talk about. We'll find out together tomorrow night. Well, all right. I'm still not clear about St. Petersburg. I've heard the news, but it's a lot of things are unclear to me. It is unclear to me why an officer would go in front of a car during a traffic stop. Shouldn't do that. Normally would not do that until the driver is out of the car. So I'm just not clear. Hi, Art. Really enjoy your show. I live in Clearwater, 10 miles north of St. Pete. And from watching the local news, it would appear that during the traffic stop, the driver did something to make the policeman concerned for his safety. This occurrence is coming on the heels of a Tampa policeman being run over and critically injured during a traffic stop of a suspected two-times murderer about a week and a half ago. Well, that would certainly account for higher tensions, but would not in any way affect the way this particular traffic stop or situation is looked at. It will be looked at on its own merit or not. However, I do have questions about why a cop would be in front of a stopped vehicle. That's the part I don't get. Maybe that will become clear. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Say, I'm Jeff from Rochester, New York.
Yes, sir.
I really enjoyed your monologue this morning.
Thank you.
One of my biggest fears that I have regarding St. Petersburg, the city of Rochester, and this is a northern city, is comprised of 78%, I could be off by a couple digits, of minority.
Okay.
My wife and I are stuck with this house that we have here in a really nice part of the city. And if something like that was to happen here in Rochester, I don't know what we would do.
Well, the same thing other people have done, sir. I was in Las Vegas when the riots occurred there in Los Angeles over Rodney King, and then they occurred very much so in Las Vegas as well. And what you do is try to put the community back together again and look for calmer heads.
Well, I have never seen race relations so low in my life since the mid and latter 60s than there are going on right now, and I see neither candidate addressing this issue.
Well, that's an absolutely fair comment. You're right about that. Neither candidate is addressing this issue. Thank you. And he is correct. And I don't know why race relations are at such a low ebb, low point right now. I don't know. I really don't know. Why? You tell me. Why? I know that I don't feel it. And maybe that's why I don't understand it. Why should race relations be deteriorating now? Shouldn't they be better? Arguably, after all these years? Shouldn't we have sort of reached some new stage of consciousness regarding the way we feel about each other? But apparently not, and race relations are ragged. Why? Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. I've just seen the report about the Pope and the talk of the evolution.
Isn't that remarkable?
And they showed another Catholic priest on saying that, describing how man just appeared. There was never a half man or anything. And that brings to mind Zechariah Sitchin was on a show last night, and along with him was a priest, Father Charlie Moore, talking about what is under the ruins that were opened in Jerusalem, and they were both saying very plainly, including the father, that they believe it was a landing pad from extraterrestrials, and this Roman Catholic priest was saying he believes, like Sitchin, that they will come back.
Well, that would fly in the face of what the Pope said. The Pope is saying essentially that he has no problem with embracing evolution. It is a most remarkable statement from the Pope. Most remarkable.
Why would he start coming out with that now?
Well, I don't think that necessarily...
Would it have something to do with the Mars rock?
And, I don't see how.
Well, you hear of, like, you heard of Reagan and the Pope talking about...
communism. Well, wait a minute. Maybe you're on to something. Maybe it does have something to do with the Mars rock.
Maybe
it does.
Maybe Richard could enlighten us tomorrow night.
Maybe he will.
And I believe NASA has said, according to places on the website, that they will show footage of Cydonia.
That is correct, sir. But you know something? Originally, NASA said that they were going to show live footage of Cydonia. All right?
Yeah.
That it would actually be delivered to the internet as it was cleared through NASA.
That's what
NASA.
I was reading today.
Well, the latest news, I'm afraid, is that they have decided not to provide it live. And the reason they're giving is the translation from digital to analog.
That's their reason.
And it's not a good one, because the translation from digital to analog can be accomplished for very, very little amount of money. I mean, I could do it if I had to.
And what time is Mr. Hoagland on tomorrow night?
First hour, 11 o'clock Pacific.
First hour. Okay, yep. I'll be prepared for it.
Well, if anybody ever is. All right, thank you very much. Yeah, this is remarkable. And maybe the caller's right. Maybe some of the recent scientific news has pushed the Pope. Maybe the news about discovery of, albeit primitive, life on Mars billions of years ago, maybe that pushed the Pope the final little bit to begin to suggest that, well, look at what the Pope said. That evolution, he said, quote, is more than just a theory, end quote. Good heavens to Betsy, that's quite a remarkable statement for a pope, isn't it? More than just a theory. So the caller may be onto something. It may be the Mars discovery pushed the pope. What do you think? First time caller line, you're on the air.
Yes, this is This is John calling from El Paso.
Yes, sir. El Paso, Texas. Get good and close to your phone and speak up loud.
Okay, sure enough. I was just wondering if you had ever read the book, the Mayan Prophecies?
Oh, I certainly have.
Yeah, well, in the book it states that there's going to be, according to the writer, a shift in the magnetic poles of the sun. And in the process, the radiation that comes through changes our ionosphere, and more radiation comes through, thus affecting fertility, causing mutations, and that's one of the reasons that the fellow said, the author said that maybe that's what happened to the Mayas, that their fertility went down.
Do you know that there was a story about 6 months ago, sir, that fertility rates worldwide had fallen by half? Now, then there was another story that said, well, no, now they haven't. So I'm not sure what the story is, but there was that story about 6 months ago. We talked about it here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the magnetic radiate, the magnetic field could affect, you know, the fertility and the whether you have a correct child or a deformed one.
Well, it would certainly do us quickly, wouldn't it? The dinosaurs, we think, went very quickly. And without the ability to procreate, should something suddenly affect that? Think about it. We would be gone in one generation, a cosmic blink of the eye. That's how fast we'd be gone. If we suddenly could, for any reason, not procreate, ever. That'd be it. In one generation, there would be nobody left. Empty planet. Where'd they go? East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hey.
Is it Art?
It is.
Oh, weird. I guess it's at a different time than mine.
No, it's not. There's just a little bit of delay. Turn your radio off.
Oh, it's off now.
That's good. Where are you?
I'm in Texas.
Okay.
I just have offer suggestion in relation to the frogs. I don't know, I'm pretty young and mentally immature. But, if they polluted, you know, a river, wouldn't it, over time at least, after everything accumulated, and it ran to the sea and rained, wouldn't it all, couldn't it, like, scatter all about the earth?
Well, I'm not saying that couldn't happen, but you're talking about, certainly you'd be talking about a slow process. In other words, a very intense pollution, for example, of the Mississippi River. Try and imagine how long it would take for that to affect frogs in Japan.
Well, I mean, all over
the earth. And yet, sir, the frogs began to show up, or the mutations began to show up, virtually simultaneously. See what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, it could be like a leading edge, and maybe cows will be made up of Pam or something. Yeah, maybe other things will start to show mutations.
Well, I certainly hope not.
Well, I don't know. It just seemed possible to me.
But this is like the canary you take down in the mine. That's what they say about frogs, because of their very permeable skin.
And maybe since they're water and air, it's kind of a hint. I don't know. But yeah, 250 years or however many of industrialization. I don't know. Thought it's possible.
Well, maybe it's also an insidious plan by restaurants that are serving frog legs.
Yeah, and maybe everything's going to blow up in 2 hours.
Have a good morning. It is a mystery, and I'm getting story after story after story on this frog business, believe me. About 2 days after the major stories on the mutations began to break, they broke a story trying to suggest that it was parasites, snake parasites. And that lasted for about 24 hours. And now all the serious scientists are coming out and saying, no, not parasites. Wait a moment. That might account for something, but it doesn't account for what we're seeing here. And the real scientists are absolutely still mystified about what it is. So am I. Aren't you? Wild Card Line, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Curtis from San Diego.
Hi, Curtis.
How you doing?
All right.
Having a cigarette right now. One of the
pretty politically incorrect, Curtis.
Yeah, I'm wondering if our secondhand smoke, they're going to say, caused the frogs to do what they're doing now.
No, you've hit it. They'll blame it on the smokers. The poor, poor frogs.
I tell you. I was going to ask you about the pyramid, so they're not going to open the Sphinx now, right?
I didn't say that.
Well, they were going to plan on doing it here in a month or so.
Yes.
But that's canceled.
I didn't say that.
Well, I thought a week or so ago.
Well, Linda Howe interviewed Mr. Hawass, the Egyptian curator official.
Mm-hmm.
And he indicated quite strongly that it was canceled. I don't really want to say anything publicly here, but let me just say there may have been changes at Giza.
Mm.
I can't go beyond that right now. I do know something about that, maybe, and I can't talk about it, so.
Yeah. Another interesting thing, you know, that I've studied the Bible somewhat in my life, and my father too, and my family, and it's amazing that they are not mentioned in the Bible anywhere, the pyramids, and them being, I guess they're like 5,000 years old or so, so they're even before the Bible was written.
Mm-hmm.
But you would think with Christ and all that around that area that he would, I mean, they would have to be mentioned at least about, I don't know. But there's also books of the Bible that are missing or that weren't thoroughly, the original Bible that was found, whatever. There were pieces of different books that were possibly missing that maybe...
may still be recovered. You never know.
Yeah.
Maybe they will open some chamber and they will find ancient writings that will absolutely blow all of our minds about everything, you know, the way we thought it was, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Who knows?
All right, well, have a good night.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 24, 1996.
A dear Sir Arthur of the Kingdom of Nye, I am faxing an intriguing story for you, and you tell me truth or trash. My story begins about 2 years ago. I'm employed as a lab tech in a Tennessee area hospital. So I see some pretty strange things. On this particular night, we had a patient brought into our facility as a code blue. As you know, this means the patient's heart had stopped. CPR was in progress, and everybody was working like crazy to save this guy. We did all we could. We worked for well over an hour, probably more like two, to try to save him. Our doctor, finally after consulting the patient's family, ended the code and pronounced the patient deceased. According to the patient's family and his records, he was a donor. The appropriate people had been contacted and were en route to the hospital. When the retrieval team arrived, they went straight to work. As they evaluated the body for organ retrieval, they checked the cornea of the eye to see if it could be used. The doctor noticed that when her penlight shone in the eye, the pupil dilated. This caused her to stop and think. She checked for a pulse. She found none. Unconvinced, she listened with her stethoscope. In the quiet of the morgue, she could faintly hear a heartbeat. Upon close inspection, she could see tiny clouds of breath from the patient, fog in the cold air, the refrigerated compartment. Oh, my God. The patient was immediately taken by helicopter to Vanderbilt Medical Center and placed in ICU. Just 3 weeks later, he was released and, believe it or not, suffered almost no long-term effects. Truth or trash? West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm calling from Montana.
Oh, the landing place.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about that. What I was calling about was the show you had on last night about the Gulf War Syndrome.
Yes.
It was horrifying.
I know.
And I was thinking, you know how Bush kind of seemed to give up and not really try to be reelected?
Well, I viewed it that way, yeah.
I wonder if it has something to do with that.
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, if I was president and that went on, I probably wouldn't want to be president anymore.
You make an interesting point. I just, you know, it's so hard for me to believe that a president who would have to be aware of this could even live with himself, come out and face the American people, knowing that kind of information. I mean, it's just, it's depressing, frankly, to even think about.
Yeah, and he was the one, you know, that sent him over there and found, you know, and then this all happened, and I just wonder if that might have...
If that is the kind of thing that a president has to bear, then I'll tell you this, I could never do that job.
Oh, I don't know why anybody would want to be president.
I wonder about it myself, thank you. Can you imagine, folks? Let us just say there is some national security, strategic reason why we would have to have maintained silence, knowing that our troops were being exposed to biological and chemical weapons. And that you, as president, were aware of that fact. You would have to live with that. And it seems to me that's something that I could not live with. How about you? Could you face the American people at all? Knowing that sort of information, I think not. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, Art Bell.
Yeah, that's me, all right, and I'm fine.
Good. I have a theory on these frog things.
Okay.
The Chernobyl.
Chernobyl.
You know, what was that called again? Chernobyl?
Chernobyl. But if that were the case, then shouldn't there be a bunch of deformed frogs around Chernobyl?
Well, possibly, but radiation goes up into the clouds and rains, carries all over the world, etc.
They
also have acid rain.
Well, that is true, sir, but the fallout that was in the rain from Chernobyl affected Scandinavia.
Uh-huh.
It killed a bunch of reindeer.
Uh-huh.
It did very serious damage in that area where it was very strong.
Uh-huh.
And so if that was the cause, then you would think that area would be the one affected. I mean, they had to throw away milk in Scandinavia.
True.
It was so bad.
True.
So their frogs ought to be a real mess.
Maybe they don't have any.
Well, you've got a point there. Maybe they don't. I have no idea.
You never know.
You never know.
Anyways, we're up here in Manitoba, Canada.
Oh, you're in Manitoba?
Yes, sir.
Cool. Is it getting cold up there?
In fact, we've got about a foot of snow here on the border of Manitoba, Saskatchewan.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I appreciate the weather report. Manitoba, Saskatchewan. Wow.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here. I'm Art Bell. And we'll talk about anything you want to talk about. Let me try and find out more. I've got something here on the situation in Florida. The disturbances began with a stolen Pontiac Le Mans. Police began to chase the Le Mans at about 5 p.m. At the wheel was the 18-year-old. Beside him, another teenager. Near an intersection, the Le Mans was cut off by a cruiser. Two officers, a man and woman, got out. The male officer, identified by police as Jim Knight, stood in front of the Le Mans. The female officer stood to the side. Now, here is where I'm just not clear about why it was done. Why would anybody stand in front of the car? At any rate, Yolanda Levine and Lisa Kraft said they saw what happened next. They said the woman officer ran to her cruiser and grabbed a baton, then ran back to the car and hit the driver's side window. Knight stood in front of the car, his hands on the hood, they said. Again, that's the other policeman, Knight. Levine and Kraft said the car inched forward, and the woman yelled for Knight to shoot. He did, striking the driver. There were five shots. Five, said Kraft, 19. The boy wasn't going fast enough to run them over. He wasn't even going 2 miles an hour. It was the seventh police shooting of the year in St. Pete, the sixth involving a police officer firing upon a car. Well, I have no way of knowing if what I just got is an accurate rendition of what occurred in St. Petersburg. If it is, I understand why they have a problem. But again, I caution everybody out there. You know, I worked in these areas, and a lot of reports that you get concerning how an incident went down are at first inaccurate. So I'm going to be very cautious here, and I'm not going to jump to any conclusions. Now, obviously, if that rendition of the incident was accurate, a lot of people would understand why there has been a problem. But I just don't think we know, and I don't like leaping to conclusions about this sort of thing. I just worked too many years in the area, and I know that until you get down to an internal affairs investigation and you really know how something came down, you don't understand whether you had a good shoot or not. You just don't know. So, there. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air. This
Hang
is
on,
it.
I better turn off the radio.
Oh, here. You better do that, yes.
Boy, there's quite a delay there. Art, I wanted to talk about this business with the Pope.
Sure.
And if I get a moment afterwards, I'll tell you about Malachi Martin and Roswell.
Malachi. All right. Let's go to the Pope. He's saying that
he,
in essence, has no problem with the... he says evolution is not just a theory.
Well, you know, Art, there was a statement that was out a few years ago. I can't remember. I think it was Paul the Sixth that they had a statement that actually came coming out and saying that... evolution was not contrary to the Church's teaching. So this is not new entirely. And, in fact...
Well, I've sure never heard it before.
No, this has been several years. It might have been even earlier than that.
Huh.
This idea that, something similar to evolution may have occurred, but that it was guided by God is hardly new. It's not, I think, the question is, did the Pope state this as a doctrinal thing, or did he talk about it as...
Well, the Pope said, quote, evolution is more than just a theory, end quote.
Yeah.
And that belief is compatible with Christian faith.
Yeah.
And it goes on. Wait a minute, sir. Hold on, sir.
Oh, okay.
It goes on to say, the Pope's statement breaks new ground by acknowledging the validity of the theory of the physical evolution of man and other species through natural selection and hereditary adaption. So they apparently had not heard what you had heard.
Well, there's a Pontifical Council on Science that has been looking into this now for some time.
Right.
And they have not come out with their conclusions yet, but they're coming closer to it, and I think this is what motivated the Pope's statement. I think one of the things you have to remember is that when the Pope is speaking as his own opinion, it doesn't carry the same weight as if he states that it's doctrine.
I understand.
So if he talks about science, you don't have to pay much attention to it. But if he is specifically saying that, in terms of Christian doctrine, that it doesn't contradict it. That's the part to look at, and they've said that before.
Okay, I guess you need to call up Reuters and let them know, because they think this is new.
Well, you know, most people aren't familiar with a lot of these things that are going on, and he did state it more strongly than anybody has before.
I see. All right, well, thank you very much. Yes, Reuters needs to know this is nothing new, because they are certainly presenting it that way, and I have never, never, never heard Pope say anything like this. Doesn't mean it hasn't happened, I guess, but evolution is more than just a theory. That's a pretty strong statement, I would say. Somebody just sent me this, and I have no idea what it is. It's from the Rocky Mountain News. He said he was going to send it. And it's an ad for an Art Bell listeners hotline. Rocky Mountain News. Why would there be an Art Bell listeners hotline? I suppose I could call it and find out. You suppose it's for people like, you know, that are hooked on the show or something to help them? Or I wonder what it could be, the Art Bell listeners hotline. Well, maybe I'm curious enough to try to call it. I wonder if there's anybody answering it at this time of the morning. Let me try it. Art Bell listeners hotline. Okay, let me see if we can get it. I'm not sure about this, but we will try. Let's see. Here we go. Calling the Art Bell listeners hotline, whatever that is, from the Rocky Mountain News. Well, maybe nobody's there at this time of the morning. Ho-hum.
Hello.
Hello there. Have I called the wrong number? I've called what is listed here as the Art Bell listeners hotline.
You have the wrong number.
I'm sorry. God, I've got the wrong number. All right, let me try it again. I'm sorry about that. Okay, let's try it again. Could have sworn I dialed the right number. Let's see. If I didn't wake anybody up, he sounded awake. Okay, let's see. I hope I don't get the same guy. If I do, I give up. Here we go again. Again, from the Rocky Mountain News.
Hello. Thank you for calling the Art Bell Chat Club.
Huh.
If you are an Art Bell listener, then you're invited to join us on Saturday, November 2nd, from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Rising Phoenix Bookstore, located at 5340 North Sheridan Boulevard. Copies of Art Bell's book, The Art of Talk, along with past issues of his After Dark newsletter will be available. Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell can be heard nightly on 630 KHOW, midnight to 5 a.m. Dreamland can be heard on Sundays from 8 to 11 p.m. on 1190 KHOW2. Come and join us in exciting conversation and make new and interesting friends. Admission is free and refreshments will be served. If you have any questions, please leave your message after the tone. Thank you for calling.
Wow. Well, let's see. I'll leave a message. Cute tone. There's the tone. Hello there. This is Art Bell, and I was just checking into what this line was, and now I know, and I hope you have a grand time. That's in the Rocky Mountain News. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. My name's Jerry from Rancho Cucamonga.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Art. I wanted to ask you a question. We've heard, I believe it was Reagan who first came up with the statement against Carter, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? I wanted to ask you this question, Art, I think would be interesting. How about, are we freer today than we were 4 years ago?
No. The answer is clearly no. But you know what? I am afraid that no matter which man becomes president, it's not like it's a big mystery, actually, but no matter which one would become president, in 4 more years, we would asking that same question would yield the same answer.
Mm, agenda.
I honestly believe that our relative freedoms are controlled more by population pressure than they are by the guy who's in the White House.
Well, I also agree, Art, with let's try to keep this thing in balance and keep the Republicans in to keep
you bet
in check.
You bet.
Okay,
it's
Art,
the only way to go. Thank you very much. It's going to be a close call in the House. I predict President Clinton an easy reelection. The Republicans retain control by the skin of their teeth of the House. They retain control of the Senate. And then in the year that follows, President Clinton is going to be in a great deal of trouble. These scandals are going to begin to have some traction in the next year. Unfortunately for Bob Dole, they did not get traction soon enough. The big news, of course, Bob Dole sent his campaign manager down to see Ross Perot, and Ross Perot basically said nuts. And the whole thing has backfired on Bob Dole at a bad time. Things have not gone well for Bob Dole. This is one of the poorest campaigns in memory, rivaling and possibly even surpassing the George Bush campaign for re-election, which I thought was really lame. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hi, Art.
Hi.
Let me turn this up. You know, concerning the Pope's statement, was that supposed to be Pope John Paul or Pope... what was his name? Pope Paul VI. Was this recent statement?
This dear lady was today.
Okay, let me tell you something. You will hear, Art, a lot of contradictory statements to church teaching these days. It's a sign of apostasy in the church. You know, Michael Brown? Do you remember Michael Brown? You had from The Final Hour, he wrote that book?
Yes.
I don't know if you recall, but I read the book. He talked about that. There's a lot of apostasy in the church. Who is speaking for whom, we don't know anymore. It's just teachings that were valid all along are becoming contradictory.
Well, it's Pope John.
So you have to go by your gut feeling, I guess.
Pope John Paul II, and it's brand new, so.
He's got Parkinson's.
So I've heard.
Yeah, but who is speaking for whom we don't know. It's
when you say he's got Parkinson's, mm-hmm. Do you mean to say that accounts for why he would say something like this?
No, because I don't think that's it's more of a nerve disease in the fingers and that. But
it sounded like you were saying that's why he would say something like this. I appreciate your call, ma'am. Thank you. That is certainly the way it sounded. He's got Parkinson's. Well, that must be why he said this. I understand the disconcerting nature of this statement for a lot of Christians out there. And what I would tell you is what I believe, and that is that there is not a problem between evolution, what the Bible says about creation. Simply think of it as somewhat metaphoric, and that God's hand has squarely been in the process of evolution. All along, I have never had a problem with this. Never. But I do understand that a lot of Christians are going to be very, very upset about it. And why? Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine.
This is your buddy, Tony, from Vegas. I'm a pretty recent listener.
Okay, Tony.
Hey, did Keith ever get that triangular craft you saw up on the webpage?
Did Keith ever get the triangular craft?
You know, the guy who sets up your stuff for the webpage?
Yes.
You saw, like, a triangular craft with your wife?
Yes, I did.
And I was just curious, because I asked you if you could put an artist rendition up on your webpage.
Well, here's how it came down, my friend. There are only two of us who saw it.
Yeah.
Me? My wife. My wife is busily having a very rough asthma attack right now.
Well,
no, it's still going on.
Oh,
and besides that, she was not yet quite having the asthma attack, and she said she wouldn't draw it. Now, she can draw.
Yeah.
I can't. I would do a lousy, lousy job.
Mm-hmm.
If I had somebody to draw what I told them to draw, I think we could do it.
Oh, great.
Now, I'll see what I can do about my wife, who I know is capable of doing it.
Uh-huh.
And I would frankly be kind of interested, after all this time has passed, to see what she would draw.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So would I.
Because it's very clear in my memory. It's forged in there like steel.
I believe it.
Oh, you
can. And let me ask you a question, if I may.
Sure.
You know, all this frog mutant frogs and
yep.
And all this story of mysterious clouds over the planet that
yes.
you mentioned a couple weeks ago?
Yes.
Doesn't it kind of make sense that there just could be a widespread biological hazard that that at least 10 different biological hazards that we should be concerned about very, very much right now?
Could be.
I think so, too.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm not saying that's what I think it is. I don't know. The very best scientists we have on Earth right now don't know. And I certainly don't know. It could be pollution-related. It could be a combination of pollution and ozone levels that have caused this. They really don't know. We're in touch with the very best people, and right now, I assure you, this is and remains a complete mystery.
Now, we take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Hey, this is an honor to be talking to you this evening, or this morning, I should say.
Thank you. It's good to have you here.
Quick question. Today on the way home from work, I was listening to NPR, National Public Radio, and it's a news-type thing, and they were talking about NASA and something going on in Montana, some flyovers, and they were going to have some meetings today, and there was going to be some type of landing this weekend. It's apparently experimental aircraft. I was wondering if maybe you have heard anything about this or any of the other listeners out there, possibly.
Run this by me again. Montana.
It's in Montana. I'm not
NASA.
Sure. I don't know a city or anything. I just
and
heard
somebody
Montana.
Is going to land some kind of experimental craft there?
Yeah, NASA. NASA was going to have some town meeting type things with people so they wouldn't be, you know, going out of their minds seeing whatever was flying over.
Oh, yeah? Sounds like a cover story to me.
Well, no. It was on the radio, and it didn't sound far-fetched at all. It just sounded like
oh, but what if NASA... Well, yeah, but, sir, what if NASA actually knows they're coming down this weekend in Montana? What better cover story could you have?
I didn't say extraterrestrial.
I did.
Experimental aircraft.
I said that, sir. Why could it not be a cover story?
It'd be a great cover story.
Thank you. Of course it would.
But if any other listeners, maybe from Montana, have heard anything about this,
okay.
I'd like to maybe hear it on the, you know.
So would I.
Through your show.
So would I.
And I appreciate all the information I get from you. You're a great human being.
I don't know about that. Thank you. Great human being. I don't know. So what's going on in Montana? I haven't heard about that. I should know about this. An experimental craft landing in Montana this weekend. Why Montana? Why Montana, of all places? And where, pray tell, in Montana? And what would it be? And, as I speculated, wouldn't it make a perfect cover story? I mean, they're already giving us the swamp gas version before the landing takes place. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. I feel like I've won the lottery here.
Well, sort of, in a way.
This is Denise from Camano Island, Washington.
Hi, Denise.
Hi there. Well, I'm a former research immunologist.
Ah.
And talking about, you know, these mutant frogs or whatever, and I really think they probably know what's causing it. I mean, there's a list of, they're called, for tetratoma pterogens that mutate, you know, like fetal tissue and things like that, and there's like a whole category of these chemicals that you can take water and soil samples and pop it in a little gas chromatograph and figure out what the concentration is, and, you know, frogs are pretty simple.
So you think they already know?
I think they know.
And they're withholding the information so we won't all freak out and go Mad Max?
Yeah, I think so. I think they actually have, you know, it's probably some Cargill, you know, chemical or something like that, and they don't really want to, you know, talk about it or whatever, and that's sort of my feeling on it.
Something that'll make DDT seem like Kool-Aid, huh?
Yeah. And so these type of chemicals are fairly easy to test. I used to do testing of drugs for cancer drugs and things like that.
Yeah, but what would make it all simultaneous on such a wide geographic scale?
Well, I think A lot of times new products come out all at once, and there's probably just a really big toxic buildup or something.
Well,
like
you
that.
Could be right, and then, of course, you'd be speculating. Thank you. They're protecting some sort of industry or something. We've got a break here at the top of the hour.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 24, 1996.
Night of the Living Dead. We were trying to think of a movie, and that's the name of it. It was horrible. Do any of you remember Night of the Living Dead? Are you old enough? I remember even the advertisements for it on the radio way back when. I'm talking about the original version now. Scared you to death. That was it, Night of the Living Dead. And I mean people came up out of their crypts, out of their graves, and they just, like zombies, began to walk, and they were all in deteriorated condition, as you would imagine people would be in graves for a while, right? Various levels of deterioration with flaps of skin falling off them. And they went after the living, and oh, God, it was terrible. It was just absolutely frightening. Great Halloween movie. Maybe one of the movie channels will replay the original for Halloween. It's horrible. Anyway, east of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Wow. Hi, Art. This is Terry over in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
Well, let's see. My head kind of wants to talk about the paranormal, but my heart is just bursting to discuss last night's topic.
All right. Well, look, it's your head and your heart. You do what you want.
No, well, I've got to follow my heart.
All right.
Okay. If what the nurse said last night is true, and in fact, our people were exposed to biological weapons during the Gulf War, gosh, to me, we're facing one of the most tragic chapters in the history of modern America. I mean, it's sickening. But to me, the bottom line is, I really don't care who's to blame or what the political consequences are. And if our troops over there were inflicted with biological agents, then the way I feel is that we either get our vets the proper treatment, and their families also, or we tear up the Constitution and take down the flag. Because, man, America don't exist no more.
Yeah, if all of this is true, then that is true. You are correct.
Well,
however, it is reasonable to say that whatever exists in the hearts and the minds of those who would know and bear this kind of information, which it seems to me would be unbearable, that in the hearts and minds of Americans, America still exists. Millions and millions and millions of Americans. And that counts more than what's in the heads or hearts of politicians. So that'll continue America. But, I mean, you're right. If what she said is true,
it's utterly sickening. Now, I have a question for you.
Sure.
It's kind of a roundabout way of a solution, but it's just something that occurred to me today. Whatever you think about the little crazy Texan down there, Ross Perot.
Ross Perot, yeah.
Yeah. He has the power and the influence and the patriotic inclination to thrust this matter into the public limelight, if it's true. And I'll send off for her information.
It would indeed be right up Ross Perot's alley.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He has dedicated himself in the past to retrieval of POWs, and he spent a lot of money on it. So this kind of thing would be right down his alley.
Well, let me ask you this, Art. After the elections, if myself and many, 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 I'm sure thousands of your listeners look at the information and find out it's true.
Yes, sir.
As yourself included, is do you think there's any way that you personally, with your influence, could get Ross interested in this issue?
Yes.
Oh well, we could perhaps save a few lives if this is the case.
All right, sir. It's a good idea. It really is a good idea, and it is the kind of thing that he would take up as an issue. I'm certain that is true. It's so mind-boggling. And yet, let me tell you something sort of strange. Maybe it's not so strange. I don't know. Wonder how you feel about it. I'm almost getting numb. There is so much going on in so many arenas, so many gotchas, so many things that society seems like it's doing that are wrong. We're eating ourselves alive. Racial problems in Florida, California. Ecological problems that seem absolutely insurmountable. Problems with regard to man doing to man, as we discussed last night. The political situation seems hopeless. And it gets to the point where you get a little bit numb about it all. At least for me. And then I always manage to reset myself. And as somebody said to me earlier, finally the question is, what's for dinner? You know, first time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. Boy, I'm surprised. My name is Chris. It's first time I call.
Okay, Chris.
I'd like to ask you a question regarding Bob Beck's invention called the blood purifier and also the lymph stimulator. Do you know anything about it?
Sure. Wayne Green talked all about it when he was on my program.
Oh, really? So you've covered this and...
Oh, in great detail, yes.
Okay. All right, and so why do you think this is not well covered by the press in general, and hardly anybody knows about it? And
well, I would say before it's going to get a lot of accolades, it's going to have clinical trials.
You're right.
And there's a lot of evidence of people saying, gee, it worked, or it works, but there have to be scientific clinical trials to prove that it works, and
right,
then people will begin to get excited.
But you know, it's very hard to do this without spending millions of dollars, and there is very little incentive to do that, considering the fact that Bob Beck has essentially given the plans on how to build those two units literally at home, if
yep,
you are so inclined.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
Okay, and one more word?
Yes, sir.
On Gulf War Syndrome, I've been following this story for a long time. I'm calling from the San Francisco Bay Area, and we have a local station that's been covering this for a long time. The
yes,
evidence is overwhelming. The entries of either chemical or biological warfare on...
May I ask you a question?
Yes.
Okay. If you were the president, and you had knowledge that chemical and biological weapons were being used on our troops,
mm-hmm,
and you knew that, and you knew that our troops were ordered not to don the gear to protect them, could you live with that?
Well, you know, the president then was Mr. Bush, and he's, unfortunately, I think he's...
Forget Bush. I'm asking you, could you live with it?
No, personally, I could not live with it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, one of the main reasons why this was all covered up is that some of those weapons were sold by American
companies. Well, that would seem to be the case. And look, what I want from somebody out there, I know the photographs of those canisters exist. I was told by Joyce Riley and others that they had markings on them that would show them to be American canisters. Somebody out there, get me that evidence. I will post it. Do you hear me? I will post it on the web. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of anybody. If that evidence exists, I'm glad to present it. So somebody out there, somewhere, get me that photographic evidence, and by God, I'll put it on the web, and we'll open this up like a big can. All right? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Art. I'd like to touch on two things this morning. For one thing, I would like... Oh, by the way, I'm calling from Sonora.
Okay, you're going to have to speak into your phone directly and speak up.
Any better?
Oh, that's much better.
Okay, I'm Jennifer from Sonora.
Yes, Jennifer.
And I thought about, the green meteorite that struck?
Yes.
Perhaps it had something to do with the mutations, because they seem to be timed close to the same time.
It is true.
And then also I wanted to tell you that I had an astral projection into the future.
You did?
Yes. And I saw the triangular spacecraft, and it had U.S. Government marks on it.
It did?
Yes.
And wow.
Well, what happened, I was crossing a bridge, and...
Although you know something, was it Joyce?
Pardon?
Was your name Joyce?
Jennifer.
Jennifer, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer, if I was an alien,
mm-hmm.
and I had a secret a craft that I was flying about Earth,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'd put on it?
What'd you put on it? USAF. Yeah, well, this was in war. They were having war. They were practicing war. And there were tanks on a frozen lake, and they were practicing war. There was no sound from them. They could move in any direction because of the shape of them.
Mm-hmm.
There was no sound whatsoever.
Hmm. Well, that's very interesting. And
it was in the winter time.
Winter time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I appreciate the call, dear. Thank you. Yeah, if I was an alien, and I had some sort of weird-looking craft, and I wanted to disguise it, I'd just put USAF on the side of it. It would be so easy, and everybody would immediately dismiss it, right?
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 24, 1996.
First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, this is Kit from New Mexico.
Hello, Kit.
I was wondering if you got my thing about the Roswell story.
What thing?
The Glenn Dennis story.
How did you send it? Fax or email?
I sent it regular mail.
Regular mail. Oh. I'll tell you, we have not opened mail in a few days.
I sent it like about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's possible it's sitting. We have this massive pile of mail we're trying to get through, and my wife has not been well, so it's kind of slowed up.
And I had a comment about yesterday.
Yes.
One of the ways that they send out biological weapons is through rodents.
And that would be one way of doing it indeed. Thank you. That would be a way of doing it. Or what about insects? I would think that would work very well, too. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Hello, Art Bell. Actually, my interest is a little bit different than that, just different angle. I'm curious to know whatever happened about the volcano in Iceland. Did it indeed flood? I mean, I didn't hear anything about it at all. I mean, I kept on top of it and
you don't bother. You mean you don't know?
No, I didn't. I wondered what happened, because I do actually have some friends there, and I haven't heard from them either. But
Iceland is under 34 feet of water, sir.
How far out? I mean, is it
all of it?
What's that?
All of it.
All of Iceland?
Yeah.
So what happened? I mean, Reykjavik?
What do you think would happen? Yeah, of course, 34 feet under.
Jesus.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
I have no idea. The volcano, as far as I know, is still going off.
Uh-huh.
It blew its way through about 600 meters of ice, which is a bunch. And the ice is melting, and they are worried about severe flooding. And that's the last word I had.
Okay.
I wish I could give you more, but that's it.
All right, well, I thought I'd bring another interesting angle, because, you know, the runes, you know, the Viking... As you know, Icelanders are very proud of their Viking heritage.
Right.
And the runic letters are, for a lot of people, they can be used as like mystical charms, you know. When I worked in a bookstore, we had like the runic, fortune telling.
Yes.
But I came across something very interesting in are you familiar with the Man, Myth, and Magic series? It's like 24 volumes of different,
Yes, I have seen it, yes.
Okay. Well, I just found this really interesting thing where this particular, during the 20s, when the Germans were intensely seeking for identity, this particular person by the last name of Kummer, K-U-M-M-E-R, came up with an interesting runic yoga in which the person
Runic yoga?
Yeah. They would twist their body into the form of a runic letter and then yodel intensely. And then they believe it released magical powers. But
you did it really? I would think it would drive people away for miles.
Yeah. Anyway, I just thought I just wanted to throw that out into the world of Art Bell.
About all I know, thank you, about Iceland is that is, as you'll well recall, from all history books, where Pat Boone descended toward the center of the earth. Remember that? That's all I know about Iceland. And it was, I believe, in a volcano, was it not, that he descended? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes. This is Gordon from Enumclaw.
Hello, Gordon.
I think the way that we could change things here in America is to vote third party. If everybody voted third party in this country, we'd send a message to Washington so fast that we were tired of the two-party system and that we could count past two.
Well, the problem with that is, of course, everybody has the opportunity to vote third party. The problem, sir, is that there is no third party that is presently projecting an ideology that is attracting enough people.
Well, I think that's because, basically, they're not getting the word out enough. If C-SPAN, for instance, would carry the Libertarian Party, which I'm a member of, and a few of the others, let's say if they decided that they were going to do that three times a day, every day, for the last 2 weeks until the election, to where people would get a chance. I believe that if the American people knew that it was out there, they're smart enough, I believe that they can count past two.
Well, first of all, it takes a hell of a lot more than C-SPAN. C-SPAN is the political junkie's place, but that's all. The average American person doesn't ever see C-SPAN, sir. They see NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox. That's what they see.
Well, I understand that, but I still believe in Harry Brown, and I believe in his message. I think he has the right message concerning drugs, too, because of the fact that if drugs are illegal, then the price is inflated to where it's like 25 times the amount it would normally be. Most people are not drug addicts.
Let me tell you something, sir. I like Harry Brown better than anybody else who's running for president right now. And that's quite a statement to make. However, I can't get next to his drug policy, and I can't get next to his open borders policy.
Well,
were it not for those two, I'd be voting for Harry Brown.
Can I answer that?
Sure.
Back in Prohibition was the only other time where we had drive-by shootings in this country. You've taken something, many substances, and you've made them like gold, to where now the average street bum on the street has something that he can fight the guy a couple streets over for.
Mm-hmm.
And it puts a lot of innocent people at risk.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the borders, I believe that if we got rid of the welfare policy, just like young mothers, if they're teenage mothers, if they're having a problem with their family at home, the government says to them,
welfare or not, sir, we remain an economic magnet. And if you doubt that, do a little travel down south.
Oh, I don't. But I believe in free trade, and I believe that this country was founded on it, and I believe the best way to turn around, even as far as our enemies go, if we completely open up this country with free trade, and we open the borders, I believe that if we turn off the spigot for the handouts, that it will be okay to open up the borders. And if we keep free trade going, even if the rest of them are protectionists, back in 1903, Winston Churchill and Britain, they were number one as far as exporters.
Well, you are faithfully relaying Harry's ideology and the libertarian ideology, and I appreciate that, but I just do not agree with it. in those two areas. Were it not for those two areas, I would be voting for Harry Brown. How's that? Those two areas. But they're real gotchas. I mean, they are non-trivial things. One, it is my feeling that freely available cheap drugs would ruin this nation. Ruin it. I know what crack does. I know what heroin does. Freely available, it would be a nightmare. Completely open borders? A total nightmare. You've really got to do a little travel. Go to Mexico, go to some Central American, South American countries, and look at the economic deprivation that is there. To completely throw our borders open with the economic disparity would be an absolute disaster. So in those two areas, I just cannot agree. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Charlie, mad as hell liberal.
Are you angry, Charlie? What are you angry about?
About this garbage that the Republicans are putting out about Martin Luther King, probably one of the greatest liberals who ever exists. And let me say that word
again. No, what have they said about Martin Luther King, Charlie?
Liberal. The word is liberal. You got this jerk Rush Limbaugh saying that Martin Luther King wouldn't have voted for Bill Clinton had he been alive today. That's a bunch of crap. And he knows it. You know, and the thing about it, you know, it would be their commercial that thank God these TV shows and these TV stations are not showing in the state of California that basically put down protecting individuals of black people's rights. But I think the whole thing of it is this: let's say that the Democrats had put out a commercial using Ronald Reagan, who unfortunately is out of it right now. But let's say they put out a commercial where Ronald Reagan made the statement that he believes in protecting individuals' rights and that people ought to be judged as human beings. And they used it, they say in a commercial that defended gays in the military and said, well, this was, you know, Ronald Reagan was for gays in the military. They'd be up in arms about that.
Charlie, we're out of break. You want to hold on?
Yeah, I'll hold on.
All right. It's Charlie hanging, twisting slowly in the breeze, and he will be back, as will we.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 24, 1996. Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 24th, 1996.
And now, rising somewhat less than gracefully from the green, slimy political cesspool, here's Charlie.
You know, unfortunately, Proposition 209, which for people who don't live in California, is an attack on affirmative action. Will probably pass in this state, but all I can say is, you know, they should not use Martin Luther King in these commercials. Where the hell were these conservatives in 1968 when Martin Luther King were alive? You had jerks like Robert Dirksen who were saying that, just a guy who owns a hotel, he should be, you know, if he doesn't want to let black people into his hotel, well, he's got a right, you know, there's nothing the government can do about it. That's where the
Charlie?
Conservatives were then.
Charlie?
Yeah.
I've not yet seen this commercial, and you say there is a commercial running suggesting that if Martin Luther King were alive today, he would not vote for Bill Clinton. Is that correct?
The commercial, it's his, well, it's his I Have a Dream speech.
Yeah. And what is that?
I Have a Dream speech, and then they make the conclusion that, well, therefore, you know, you shouldn't use affirmative action because that's racist against white people, which it's not. But, you know, it goes to show you how low and despicable and disgusting the conservative extremists get with their stupid commercials. You know,
but aren't quotas equally on the other side as disgusting and disruptive socially?
Well, I think the thing is...
Well, now answer that, Charlie. I mean, answer that.
No, they're not, because unfortunately we still live in a racist society, and either society is racist or it's not, and ours is still racist. Not as racist as it was, obviously, in 1965.
Well, that might be debatable. I don't look at St. Petersburg this morning.
But certainly, and there's a black lady out with a book where she could, and she owned a one of those office supplies companies, and she had to actually get a white guy to go around to different companies to get them to loan her money. It goes to show you that
there's still racism.
Is still there.
Yeah, there is still racism. All right, thank you, Charlie. There is still racism. There is absolutely no question about it. But there are people on both sides of the political spectrum using that horrible, mutated human condition for their own political purposes, both from the right and from the left. Charlie. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello. Going once. Going twice, gone. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
How you doing, Art?
I'm doing all right.
John from Juneau.
Hi, John.
And how you doing?
All right.
I wanted to commend you on the show with the bishop or whatever, the Catholic guy doing the exorcism.
Catholic priest, yes.
Yeah, that was a great show. I thought any guest you've had on in about the year that I've been listening, he was the most on the money for the questions that you asked him. But anyways, my question was, I called before one time and I got the Gabriel's horn
going
on me before I got to finish. But,
oh, yes.
And what it was is, I was wondering if sometime you'd have somebody on to talk about Bible prophecy, and the person I would recommend is Irving Baxter.
Who was that, sir?
Irving Baxter, he's the editor for End Times magazine. I was wondering if I could get if I got your address, I could send you a copy of the magazine, and then if you wanted to, you could follow the lead
sure.
An interview.
Sure. Do you have a pencil?
Yes, sir.
Art Bell, P.O. Box 4755 in Pahrump. Not to laugh, please. It's no funnier than Juneau. P-A-H-R-U-M-P. Pahrump, Nevada, a zip code 89041-4755. And we are as dry as Juneau is wet.
Yeah, it's been raining lots here lately.
Well, it's been dry here lots lately.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, anyways, I think that would be a great show if you did that, because, you know, there's lots of more stuff going on than I think mankind has ever seen in terms of...
I sure agree with that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And can't believe it got on right after Charlie Liberal. Wow. How does that guy get on so often?
It's called dialing and having a nice bank of government phones with which to dial. Remember, when you hear Charlie, those are your taxpayer dollars at work.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Okay, Art. Well, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care, sir. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
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 How are you?
I am reasonably well.
That's good. I'm up in Canada, and I'm just...
Where in Canada are you?
In Vancouver.
Vancouver. All right.
Now, I discovered you by accident, and I a couple of weeks ago, I've been listening ever since, and I was just wondering if you had ever heard of a man named Robert Eisenman. And his work in the Dead Sea Scrolls.
No, but I would like to talk to somebody about the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Well, this guy's got some pretty interesting theories about the relationship between the scrolls and early Christianity.
How does one get hold of this person?
I believe he is a professor
hunting dove.
I can barely hear you, sir.
I'm sorry. He's a professor at a university in California, and the name slips my mind. But his name is Robert Eisenman.
Well, I'm sure. All right. I'm sure somebody will send me a fax and let me know how to get a hold of him.
Great.
All right.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. And listen, everybody, you've got to remember, a telephone, the telephone transmitter on your telephone is not meant to go on your chin. That's what people do. They get it way down there, and then, you know, you just can't hear what's going on. It's like if I put my mic, there's my mic on my chin now. Doesn't that sound awful? If I bring it back up here, why, you can hear what I'm saying, correct? There you are. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello, Art Bell.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Tracy calling from Seattle.
Hi, Tracy.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm all right.
All right. Well, boy, I got to tell you, I'm been listening to you for about a month now, and you have some great stuff on the air, and I really appreciate that.
Well, I'm always amazed. We've been on the air for years in Seattle, Tracy, and yet we still get new listeners like you all the time. It is amazing.
Well, I just, you know, heard about you through the grapevine. And
the grapevine?
Yes. Yeah,
the last caller said it was by accident, and for you it was the grapevine, huh?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, you were recommended. You come highly recommended, actually.
Oh, well, that's nice.
I have a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
First of all, do these changes at Giza relate to Art's parts?
Well, I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, Richard Hoagland will not tell me what he's going to talk about, so I don't know.
Okay, and I haven't caught everything that you have talked about in terms of Art's parts, and I'm really curious if you could maybe give me some quick and dirty information on what they are.
They are, allegedly, from a crash at Roswell. Or at Socorro. Actually, we know where, but we haven't said yet. In that area, let's put it that way.
Okay.
And they are made of bismuth and magnesium with trace amounts of zinc. Nobody in the U.S. Is able to make it, duplicate it, knows how it was made, or anything else. And we have talked to every major lab, every scientist doing work in the field. We had begun testing. We've done testing at Carnegie, Redstone, and it's anomalous. Right now, it's a great big question mark. We don't know what they are, period.
Do you know anything about how they're supposed to function or what their purpose is?
Well, we're beginning to, we believe their purpose may be as anti-gravitic material, anti-gravity.
Okay.
And they are performing some tests now to try and prove exactly that. And that's where we are.
Okay, now, let me ask you this. Does this anti-gravity have a magnetic source or a magnetic base to it?
Well, anti-gravity, by its very nature, would have to shield or defy or repulse the effects of gravity. To have anti-gravity, you must either shield gravity, if it is a pulling force, or in some way reverse its effects, right?
Yeah. Well, that's one theory, I guess. What about the fact that the Earth itself produces magnetic polarity?
Oh, what about it?
Well, I'm wondering if that might have an effect or might be malleable in some way that we just haven't discovered yet.
Could be. Could be. I'm not a scientist here. I'm just a talk show host. And
well, I'm not a scientist either. I'm just curious. Also, I've got another question for you.
Do you have a computer?
No. Oh, God, I wish I did.
That's too bad, because the latest reports and latest testing is always up on my webpage.
Oh, so you do have stuff on your webpage now?
Oh, my, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got a friend that I will get in contact with.
All right, it's www.artbell.com.
Yeah, I've got that written down.
Okay, good.
One more question for you, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Well, a couple things, actually. Have you thought about having reverse speech done on some of the things that Major Ed Dames has told you?
Well, it's public domain stuff. I mean, Ed Dames' interviews have gone for hours and hours and hours on this program, so you could get a tape and do it easily.
Right. I'm not sure how I would set up the tape recorder, though. I was wondering if you had, what's the gentleman's name who studies the reverse speech?
David?
Yes. Have you thought about maybe having him analyze some of that speech just to...
Well, he doesn't work for me. I'd be glad to suggest it.
Pass that along, if you wouldn't mind.
All right. Anything else?
Yeah, actually, I've got one other thing about the frog.
Oh, yes.
This is really weird, and you may or may not believe this, but I've actually been predicting that for some time, as there's a group of us here that actually are pretty in tune with the nature of things, and we've been seeing that coming, and this is just the beginning.
All right. Well, I appreciate the words, and in fact, if you go back and look at the March 30th program that I did with Ed Dames, I mean, this is to his credit. You will hear him say that we have severe problems with the ozone, with the environment, and you will hear him say that you will begin to see first gross mutations of frogs, and then finally human babies will begin to die. He said that on March 30th, before the frog story broke. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Sandy. I'm from Santa Clara.
Hello, Sandy.
How you doing?
Fine.
Oh, now I'm nervous. I didn't think I'd ever get through. First, I want to say I love your show.
Thank you.
And I'm really blown away, too, about Major Dame. It's really been on my mind.
Well, a lot of what he said has been said by others, not as specific as to the details, but has been said by others, you know, coming in the short term, including the Catholic priest we had on, an incredible man named Malachi Martin. And it just stopped me cold, interviewing Malachi and hearing him say some of what he said, and he had no way of hearing my previous guests. It just sent chills down my spine. And I didn't even bother stopping and calling attention to it when it occurred. It freaked me out so badly, I just let it go, and I knew the audience was feeling what I was feeling.
Well, I missed that one. I only caught part of it.
Oh.
I'm not too religious, so I wasn't sure what that was. I didn't think you kind of...
Malachi Martin is a spokesman for the Vatican. Way inside the Vatican, has advised several popes. And you should have listened to it, dear, because he said just about exactly what Ed Dame said.
Wow. Now, is Hoagland, is he the other remote viewer?
No. Okay. No, Richard Hoagland was an advisor to NASA, worked for Walter Cronkite as his science advisor, and will be here tomorrow night.
I know, I'm looking forward to it. Who is the other remote viewer that...
Courtney Brown.
Courtney Brown, yes, he's coming... I'm going to go see him.
Oh, he's coming to your area?
Uh-huh.
Very good. All right, well, listen, thank you.
Thank you.
Take care, and good luck with Courtney. We'll have him back on, too. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Art Bell.
That's true.
I'd like to ask you a couple questions. First of all, I want to say that I really enjoy your program.
Thank you. Everybody's got questions. All right, go ahead.
I believe it was back in June, there was a man talking about the Philadelphia experiment, and he was planning to prove it to a group of individuals. And I'm not sure exactly who it was or what all that entailed.
Well, when I was on vacation in Russia, they replayed a program by Al Bielek. Could that have been it? Turn your radio on, sir. Sir, good. Could that have been it?
It was before you went to Russia.
Okay.
I'm not...
I vaguely recall having another guest on the Philadelphia experiment. Yes, I do recall, but I'm sorry, not the specifics.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Okay, my friend, take care.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 24, 1996.
Tomorrow night, Richard C. Hoagland. And as I told the earlier audience, he won't tell me what he wants to talk about. He's keeping it very close to the vest. And I said, but Richard, and he said, look, it'll just make you ask very good questions. So that's what I'm left with, and that's your tease and mine for whatever it's going to be tomorrow night. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
This is Adrian. I'm in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
I just had a comment. I listened to your show last night.
Yes.
With Joyce Riley.
Right.
And as I was listening, she said something about the disease could possibly be airborne.
Yes.
Or maybe it could be in the water supply.
Correct.
Now, I'm not sure, but I believe I heard her say a few minutes after that that they see similar results to this type of disease in animals, that their back legs become very weak.
Correct again.
Well, as soon as I heard that, it popped in my head that perhaps this disease that's gone airborne in the water supply, frogs being an indicator species, it's
right.
gotten into the frogs, their back legs are becoming weak, therefore they've mutated, and that's why they're growing 4 and 5 legs now.
Not bad, sir. It's as good a theory as anybody's. Right now, nobody knows what is doing it, so it's as good a theory as any.
I figured I'd just run that by you.
Well, good thinking. That's good critical linear thinking, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to let you know I enjoy your show, and I've been trying forever to get through to you, and I'm glad I finally did.
I'm glad you did, too. Thank you. That's good thinking. It's not out of line. It is as good as anybody's theory. If what Joyce Riley said last night is accurate, then there is every reason to believe that it could be the causative agent with regard to the frog mutations. It certainly could be. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art Bell.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing just spiffy.
Well, I got to tell you something. I got a kitty cat that sits on my lap or lays by me when you're on.
Yes.
And your cat call doesn't do a thing to her.
Really?
No.
Your cat is immune?
I guess. But when you do that there, Bigfoot.
Your cat doesn't like Bigfoot?
I had to go to the doctor the last time.
Oh, no.
She left scratch marks over my arm. I kind of had half dozed off, I guess, and that came on, and she laughed. And
I shouldn't
hurt
laugh.
All over.
I really shouldn't laugh.
My cats
have become immune to this cat sound.
Oh, this thing's different.
They've finally become immune to it, but when I first played this cat sound, I'm telling you, this house went nuts.
Yeah.
There were cats running all over the place. They were looking for this cat that had obviously been wounded mortally.
Yeah.
They were certain of it.
Couldn't find it, huh?
And so cats, you know, they react differently.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like this cat, we got her when she's about a year old. Somebody just dumped her.
Yeah.
And
typical.
We felt sorry. And we took her in, but we couldn't get her to come when you call kitty, kitty, kitty. She won't even look at you.
I know. Comet won't do that either.
You got to whistle like you're whistling for a dog. And she looks right to you.
Really?
My husband says, weird cat. I says, you found her, honey, not me.
Does she fetch? I mean, if you throw a stick?
She's got a fur thing that my daughter took off her boots. Top part of boots.
Oh, yes. Oh, they love...
Drag that thing everywhere.
Yeah, like a dog. They love fur things, I know. Listen on, I gotta go. I've got news here at the top of the hour.
Well, keep up the good work, and I got that boy that said he talked to himself.
Yep.
I bet Mama pulled a good one on him.
I'll bet. I'll see you.
Tape recorder.
Yep.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Watch your cats, everybody. I'm telling you. Look out. We will return.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Do you remember at the beginning of the show when I told you you've got to be careful about these reports of situations that are fluid and underway? I'm referring now to what occurred in St. Petersburg. I can't even tell you this is the straight stuff, but I've got a story from this morning's Tampa Tribune in front of me, and I'll read it to you or some of it. St. Petersburg. A police shooting sparked a violent outburst on the city's south side Thursday night, with hundreds of people rioting, looting, torching cars and stores, hurling Molotov cocktails, firing guns, and attacking police and journalists. The frenzy erupted when some people in the predominantly black area learned that a white police officer had shot a black motorist at the corner of 16th Street and 18th Avenue South. Details of the shooting were sketchy, but early today, police confirmed late Thursday that the 18-year-old motorist died en route to the hospital. Police have not released his name. Police said the suspect's car was traveling east on 18th Avenue at more than 70 miles per hour when police pulled it over near the intersection at about 4:40 p.m. A witness said after the car was stopped, the suspect put his hands up. The car was still in gear, and the man's foot was on the brake. Police ordered the man out of the car. As the man opened the door and began to get out, it began moving toward the officer. The officer shot the suspect three times, said the witness, an 18-year-old woman who was in a car behind the suspects. The woman did not give her name. She said a woman passenger in the suspect's car was not injured. The White House expressed immediate concern about the riot. Quote, said Mike McCurry, we're making inquiries of local officials for an assessment of the situation. Police identified the police officer who shot the man as Jim Knight. He shot the suspect several times. By 11:30, fires were popping up at several locations in South St. Petersburg, with a community resource center at 15th Avenue and 4th Street South, and a nearby post office reportedly destroyed. Rioting then mushroomed to surrounding neighborhoods, and police set up a command center near Tropicana Field. So, I guess I can see both sides of this, and to me it looks like a tragedy. In other words, to the observer, to the casual observer on the sidewalk or behind the vehicle, it probably looked like the police assassinated this guy. Wouldn't you say? However, to the policeman, and I still question why a policeman would be in front of a stopped vehicle in a traffic stop, to that cop, I'm sure it looked like attempted murder. Vehicular homicide, it's called. To him, it looked that way. And he was protecting his life, he thought. But this is obviously not going to go down easily, and on the face of it, you can understand why there was a riot. It looked like an assassination. If it came down as described here, I'm sure to the casual observer, it looked like an assassination. So now we know a little more, maybe. But even this, you know, who knows? We've got to wait. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. This is Phil in Downey, California.
Hi, Phil.
I just want to make a comment about Charlie. I wonder how Charlie would have felt if his little tushy job there was taken by someone else.
I don't know. Everybody would feel the same way, probably. Because, angry.
Yeah, because of their race. Also, if you were to run a recording of his conversations with you backwards, some of the stuff would probably come out something like this. Next break, hurry. Need new cushion for chair. When is next raise? When is quitting time almost here?
I love working for the taxpayer.
If Dole gets in, we'll have to work harder.
Well, all right.
I hope your wife is doing well. I'm an asthmatic myself. I've lived with it all my life, but she'll make it.
She'll make it, sir. Thank you. She's going through real hell right now. And it kind of comes and goes. It's really bad for a while, and then we think it's getting better, and then the attack comes back. And it's just horrible. Horrible. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello there.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Art?
Yes, that's me, all right.
I'm a truck driver. I listen to your show every night. I hope the reception's decent here. Great show. Every time I listen to Ed Daines, I get worried about things, and then he starts talking about remote viewing, people on Mars or things on Mars, and I discount everything. But then this thing with the biological stuff and the deformed babies and what have you, it's really scary. And the guy had, I think, the right idea with the frogs, too, that could possibly be that airborne, that the stuff got airborne, and it's doing that to them.
It was a reasonable scenario.
Yeah. About this riot in St. Pete, I'm not a racist or anything like that. I live in Tennessee. But it's just like the riots after the OJ thing. I mean, these people, and I'm not saying black or white, but these people have nothing to do, but, you know, everything's provided for them, and they just, you know, anything to spark, anything to get out and give them a reason to loot and burn and just, you know, raise hell. I mean, it's like the young people in the government housing and stuff, it seems like, you know, everything's there that they need, then they just sit around and think about what they're going to do, sell drugs, or what they're going to do to get the things they want that they can't have. You know, and here's a chance, okay, here's a good reason to go loot and rob and burn. You know, let's just go wreak havoc on the town. We ain't got nothing better to do.
All right, sir, I appreciate your call. Thank you. We'll hold it there. I think right now, based on what I've read, I see both sides of this. And I'll tell you something. There is racism. It's real. And if I had been there and I had seen this, maybe I would have rioted. To the casual observer, if this came down the way it reads, it looked like this man who had his hands in the air was assassinated. I'm sure it looked that way. In fact, I also understand why the cop shot. The only part of this I don't understand is what the cop was doing in front of the car. When you do a traffic stop, there's a certain protocol you follow, and as far as I know, it does not include going into the front of the car before the person is out. So, I'm reserving judgment on all of this. On the other hand, for whatever reason, if the cop was in front of the car and he thought that guy was trying to run him over, that is attempted murder. And he is justified in drawing his gun and shooting, using fatal force against fatal force. So I see both sides of this, frankly. It never justifies the wider rioting. That is to say, the let's go join the crowd and get a free color TV or whatever. But so far as I read this situation, I understand both sides. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Good evening, Art.
Hi.
Jack here, another libertarian who's not going to let you off the hook.
Well, sir, my life is not dependent on whether or not you let me off the hook. I'm going to do what my conscience dictates, as I'm sure you are.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't believe that white-collar criminals should get off the hook and should be without jail, and I don't...
Oh, me either.
Okay, and I don't believe in everything that the Libertarian Party dictates, but get over your hang-up on drugs. Get over your hang-up on immigrants.
Sir, don't tell me what to do.
I'm not trying to...
Well, yes, you are.
All right. The Libertarian Party stands for freedom. It stands for liberty.
Okay.
We're
well, in that case, you can be proud and happy when you go and vote.
Yeah, you
for it.
Uh-huh. Vote for Brown for president, dude.
Thanks for the call.
We're with a wave of the future.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, we'll find out on Election Day how much of the wave of a wave of the future you are. We'll be able to carefully tally up the votes cast for all the various parties and know who is the wave of the future and who is the wave of the present. And I don't need anybody to, you know, put me on or take me off the hook. I will vote as my conscience dictates. And I assume, particularly as a libertarian, you will do the very same.
Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
First time caller line, you're on the air.
This is Chris from New Mexico.
How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Fine.
The first thing I wanted to tell you was I have a comment for you about how your wife's sick.
Yes, sir.
And she has asthma, right?
Terrible, yes.
My girlfriend's father, he lived in Los Alamos when they were developing the A-bomb.
Yes.
And he has asthma really bad. And back in the 40s, they told him to drink kerosene to fix it.
Really?
Yeah, I swear.
Doesn't sound like a brilliant idea to me, but...
I thought it was just pretty dumb, but I thought you could tell her that just to say, hey, you know, back in the 40s they made you drink kerosene for asthma. And then my other thing was, what was the answer to the riddle?
I don't know.
You don't know? He didn't tell you?
No, he just gave the riddle.
Oh,
I made my guess and wasn't right, and so that's it.
And then about the frogs?
Yes.
Maybe it has something to do with pesticides that they're eating.
Well, it might, but that would be a pretty local problem. How could they begin eating these pesticides in so many places in the world at once?
Maybe there's a new pesticide that came out, and all the different countries use it in all their different agricultures.
All at once?
Yeah, all at once.
That's quite a coincidence.
Oh, all right.
All right?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you for the call. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. No, we missed you. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yay for Art Bell! Hello.
Hi.
This is Mary in Santa Barbara, California.
Yay for Mary.
I have no questions, no complaints. I have a short poem. It's called Ode to Mr. Bell.
Oh, no.
It's good. Are you ready?
Well, if I don't like it, I'm blowing you out of here like
okay,
a bad dreamer.
Okay, that's fine. You know how when you were a little kid, you would write your letters of your name vertically, and then you'd give a good word for each letter? So we're going to put Art Bell vertically. Do that in your head, okay?
All right.
Okay.
Oh, I can do better than that. I can do it on paper.
Okay, great. Well, okay, I'm ready when you are.
Go.
Okay. A is for adventure, which he gives us every night.
Oh, no.
R is for righteous. He'll never give up the fight. T is for tenacious, which he certainly is. B is for beautifully, the only way to live. E is for evolvement, which art contributes to. L is for likable. Oh, yes, he is, too. And finally, the last L is for love, which is what this planet direly needs. Let the world hear Mr. Art Bell to begin to plant the seeds.
Yay, Mary.
I'm the one who told you that my sister met Shannon Doherty, and she uses Ralph Lauren sheets about a year ago. So, just wanted to say hello, and I love your show, and I found you by accident, and you've kept me just... in high spirits. Thank you so much.
You bet. Take care. My sister met Shannon Doherty. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, is this Art Bell?
Hey, yes, it is.
Oh, this is just terrific. I've always wanted to give you a call, and this is just the first time I've tried. And
where are you?
Right in there. I'm calling from Anchorage, Alaska.
Anchorage, way up north.
Yeah, this is Nate. And I just wanted to put my my two cents in on the whole thing going down in Florida.
Okay.
I was actually just watching a little up-to-the-minute news on TV, and I saw a little scenario. and it looked pretty bad. I saw the cop car. You're asking about how the guy got in front of the car itself.
Yes.
And it looked as if there was like there were like three cars or a couple cars, you know, surrounding the car. So that's probably how somebody got in front of the car, because they had to like pull in front to stop.
But I still think it is poor form for a human being to stand in front of a stopped vehicle while the driver is still in it.
Oh, definitely. I definitely agree with you there. But it's just terrible. I mean, I like you, I guess I can see both sides where, you know, one side, the police officer is trying to protect himself, though, I mean, shooting and killing somebody is pretty...
serious?
You know, it's pretty a serious thing.
Well, running over somebody and killing them is serious, too. And if that's what the cop thought was happening, then I understand why he did what he did. But to the person watching from the sidewalk, it probably looked like an assassination.
Exactly. Hence the riots. There you go.
Hence the riots, yes.
Yeah. Well, hey, I guess, I mean... didn't have much to say. I think I should have thought a little bit longer before I gave you the call, because here I am and not a word to say. So
well,
I really enjoy your show, and I'll
you did very well, sir.
Great, thanks.
Thank you. Take care. Yeah, I think an awful lot of people were, including an earlier caller to my show, were ready to jump out on this much too soon. And I've dealt now with these kinds of stories long enough to know the early reports almost inevitably are wrong. And I wouldn't even put my money on this one. We will know eventually, but it will take a careful, honest investigation to make that determination. In the meantime, hopefully at this point, cooler heads will begin to prevail on both sides, and a search for the truth will actually begin. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Rob in St. Paul.
Hi.
Two things.
Okay.
First off, I live here in St. Paul, Minneapolis, and I have not heard a word about mutated frogs.
No?
And with
they're all around you, sir.
Well, with all the liberals and earth lovers up here, I'd expect people to be pounding doors down and hear nothing about it. I hear everything about every other thing environmental, but there hasn't been a word about mutated frogs.
Well, how about if you go outside and just listen? Do you hear frogs, mutated or otherwise?
Yeah, I mean, I live right near the Mississippi, and when I walk my dog at night, I hear plenty of frogs.
Rigged.
Yeah.
I wonder what a mutated frog sounds like.
Probably pretty sick.
Probably pretty soon, yeah.
Well, anyway.
No, they are there. I'm sorry to say it is
well,
true.
I would believe you. You wouldn't doubt me. This place is so weird. Now, with the deal in Florida, I understand that a cop took somebody's life and that's not good. But I wonder why people don't get this upset when they shoot each other and they don't have the authority to protect themselves with a gun when they're on a job. I mean, the cop had the job where he's out there protecting us every day, 8 hours a day, to provide food for his family.
Well, that doesn't give anybody the right to assassination. And I'm not saying that it was, but it may have looked that way.
No, but what I am saying is that if everybody would get this upset about shooting each other, I'm saying if it would have been another black guy on the street, and I don't want to make this a black-white thing. If it was just another guy on the street, I hear what you're saying. There wouldn't have been a riot. Somebody probably would have gotten arrested, or somebody would have gotten away with a crime for a while, or whatever it would have been. And the second thing I'd like to ask you about is, it just slipped out of the top of my head. Oh, it's about Ross Perot. I have not been able to hear anything on the news. I just lost my cable. My TV blew up. But what is the deal with Bob Dole asking Ross Perot to drop out of the race? Was that the thing he was asking?
That was the deal. He sent his campaign manager down there. He is probably at this point desperate, or even if he isn't, it makes it look that way, and wanted Ross Perot to drop out, endorse him. And Ross Perot basically said, nuts, no.
That's good.
Well,
okay.
Not for Bob Dole, it is.
Well, no, it's not for Bob Dole, and it's too bad that we're going to have to deal with Bill Clinton for another 4 years, and then maybe even Al Gore.
All right. Not a lot of time. Well, as a matter of fact, I would do somebody a terrible disservice by trying to get them on the air right now, so I'm not going to do that. I will simply break here at the bottom of the hour, and we'll be right back. Riots, as you know, in St. Petersburg, and what appears to me right now to be a very tragic situation. And so hopefully cooler heads will prevail. And now that the heat is gone, the thinking and the investigation will begin. So we're talking about that and many more things. Whatever the case is, we'll be back in one moment and do more of it.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 24, 1996.
Morning, everybody, and welcome back. Anybody out there have any idea what kind of sound a mutated frog would make? Wouldn't be ribbit, ribbit. Clearly, it would be something else. Anybody want to give it a shot? My heart is on fire. My soul's like a wheel that's turning. Anyway, we'll get underway in a moment.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 24, 1996.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, Art.
Hello.
Hi. Why don't we sometime have a program where we go down those paths in ideas and thoughts and talk instead of just shutting the door, you know, the drugs and the border thing about Harry Brown?
Well, I like everything else about Harry Brown. So what else do you want to talk about? I would vote for the guy if it weren't for those two very important critical items.
Maybe you could have him on again and we could just talk about those two, you know, more in depth.
Well, you've heard
to understand.
Yeah, but you have heard the callers. They are accurately portraying his position on those things. His position is that the crime would stop if we legalized drugs. His position is that we would not have an inrush of illegal or they wouldn't be illegal. Legal people coming to America if we just did away with the welfare as a magnet. Well, there's a lot more magnetism in America than just welfare.
But I think he has a little bit more to say than...
Well, that's what he said. That's what he said when he's been on the air.
Oh, yeah, I know. But, I mean, I think that maybe just saying that this and this is the way what would happen... I think that you should have him back on to talk about it.
Well, next time he's on, we'll talk about it.
All right, great.
All right?
All right, thanks.
See you later. However, I well know those to be his positions. As a matter of fact, we had him on in a debate most recently, which I believe we did repeat, didn't we? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Rafael from Bakersfield.
All right.
Yeah, talking about evolution. In the science community, evolution always been considered more than just a theory. Evolution is a fact. Now, there's a theory, Darwin's theory of evolution, to explain the fact. Now,
well, do you embrace evolution as fact, sir?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, I'm a scientist. I have a PhD in biochemistry. And evolution is a fact. Now, there's a theory of evolution, Darwin's theory of evolution, that may be faulty. And because of the discussion in the scientific community about maybe it's 40, then the Christian take it like the whole thing's 40.
Well, a lot of times, sir, when Christians, thank you, have called here, they have been incredibly upset. Incredibly upset. When you have suggested to them that evolution or the Darwin business is the way it all occurred, they get beside themselves. And so for the Pope to say this, I think, is absolutely amazing. And the Pope said, quote, evolution is more than just a theory, end quote. It's a very radical statement. And one lady called here and made reference to a disease that he had, as if to suggest that's the reason he would say something like this. And that tells you the level of a distress that this statement has produced. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Bell.
Hello.
Several weeks ago, I was listening to the program, and there was a report of a large egg or something that had been found up in the north. Minnesota.
Yes.
And I'd never heard anything more about it, and I was just kind of curious.
It hatched.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What was it or anything?
Tyrannosaurus rex.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Ravaged a lot of this north central part of the country.
Okay.
No, the whole thing was a put on. Some radio station up there got the cooperation of a museum in putting together a hoax for a promotion.
Oh, okay.
So the whole thing was baloney.
Okay, well, I kind of thought it was, but I just was curious about it.
Well, now you know.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. God, I love to tell people that stuff. You know what really gets me is that they believe it. Yeah, Iceland's now under 34 feet of water. Oh, my God. They believe it. Tyrannosaurus rex hatched. A first-time caller line, you're on the air.
Art Bell.
That's true.
Hey, I'm ashamed to say this is the first time I've ever listened to your show.
It is.
And here I am in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Not very far from where I am, actually.
As a matter of fact, I work in the same building as your radio station.
Oh, you do?
Yes. I'm a little bit jealous, but...
Why?
I'll let that pass. I have a whole list of questions.
All right.
Let's get back to this, frog thing for one.
Okay.
And the person that called earlier said, perhaps this green meteor...
Yes.
...was responsible for the frogs?
That's what he said, yeah.
Yeah, that's what he said, but I believe that the frog phenomenon antedated the green meteor by many months.
It did?
Didn't it?
Not that I'm aware of. It's only been...
The green meteor was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yes. And the frogs...
The frogs have been mutating for many months.
They have?
Haven't they?
Not to my knowledge.
Well,
I just began, sir, hello, sir, sorry, hello, sir, hello, sir, sir, hello, hello, can you pause for a sec?
Excuse me, I can barely hear you, I have to turn my radio down.
Can you pause for a moment?
I'd be happy to.
Okay. I began getting the mutated frog stories about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I've been hearing stories about amphibians dying off for unexplained reasons. For at least a year or two.
Oh, well, that's true.
Haven't you?
Oh, yes.
And,
But not mutated.
Well, no, but... I mean, which do you think is the more serious phenomenon? Extinction or mutation?
I would say both are serious if it's you.
Probably unrelated. Or perhaps not.
Perhaps not.
But, I'm surprised that none of your callers have mentioned, I mean, I don't really study the phenomenon, but I watch CNN headline news fairly frequently, and for the past 3 or 4 days, they've had a court expert on that has ascribed this phenomenon to the presence of a
parasite
that...
yes, and yes, sir, are you... Sir?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can barely hear you.
Could you pause again for a second, please?
Sure.
All right, if you look at more recent stories, you will find that the top scientists in the field are saying the parasite is was a good shot, but does not account for what's going on.
Okay, I heard you say that, and I was wondering what the basis of these scientists are, because it's easy to say, well, scientists speculate that, and I mean, I have an open mind on this, but...
All right, the article that I've got in front of me, if you can hear me, is by the Associated Press.
Okay.
It's entitled, Scientists Skeptical About Parasites in Deformed Frogs.
Okay.
Minnesota scientists studying malformed frogs here and in several other states are skeptical of reports from a California researcher that a snake-dwelling parasite is causing the deformities.
Okay.
Mark Gurnis, a biologist with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, said Tuesday that parasites may be one factor, but there might be a lot more than one cause of the bizarre abnormalities that have been showing up since last year.
Okay.
So they're kind of ruling that out as the primary cause of whatever it is doing this.
What's your gut feeling about this?
Well, I don't really have one, but I would say it may even be a combination of things. It may be chemicals. It may be lowered ozone, higher radiation levels. I don't know. What's yours?
I'm exactly with you. I don't know. I'm not sure that it's knowable.
Oh, most things are knowable given enough time and good science.
Really? Like religion? When I leave for work every day and I scratch my cat on the head, do you think he has any concept of where I go and what I do?
Well, there's recent research to indicate that the answer to that is yes. Not only that, but your cat is smarter than you are, and your cat and or your dog know when you're coming home.
Yes, but do you think my cat has any concept of who and what he is and who and what I am and where I go and what I do when I go to work?
Well, I don't know about your cat, but my cat does.
Okay, well, do you think your cat understands now that you're on 1,000 radio stations addressing 1,000,000 people?
If he does, then he can't count because the present count is just coming up on 300.
Okay. Well, do you think your cat has any concept that you're broadcasting or you're just sitting at a desk talking?
I would have no idea what my cat thinks about it.
Is it possible that your cat would have a concept of what you do?
Look, I wouldn't pretend to know what's in a cat's mind.
It's knowable for a cat to know this. I'm trying to extrapolate by that. Do you think it's possible for human beings on this planet to really know the reality of universal existence?
Wait a minute now. How did you get to universal existence?
Well, okay. To my cat, I'm God.
How do you know?
Because he depends on me totally.
Well, if that's the case, then how come he doesn't call when you call? Come when you call him.
Well, he is not bogged down by these.
You may not be God.
Physical metaphors.
Yeah, you may not be God.
Well, some things are not knowable.
Yeah. Well, some things are, I'll tell you something.
You think it's possible for us to really know anything?
Sir, let me put it to you this way. I don't know why where this discussion is going, but
okay.
Wait, sir. Would you please wait?
Sure.
I think that since these frogs are dying and are mutated, and we've got similar problems with birds, if we're smart, we will continue to investigate and try and find out why. Before we become as the frogs, would that seem like a good idea to you?
Oh, that would be the ultimate good idea. But I would caution everybody to, do you think this green meteor has anything to do with the frogs losing legs? I hear some of these callers and...
Well, see, that's the difference. On my program, as opposed to yours, I don't know when you're on the air.
Well, you're very tolerant.
I allow people to say what they want to say.
I respect that, and I envy you.
Why?
I wish I could do that. I have one other question.
Instead of playing records, you mean?
Well, they're two different things.
Yes, they are.
I got one other thing, though.
Go.
Forget the frogs, forget Jesus, forget, the prostate gland serum that you sell. What would you do about America's drug problem if you were president?
What would I do about America's drug
problem? If it was up to you, what would you do? I've been listening to people talk to you, and you'd say, well, I agree with the libertarians, except, you know, for the drug thing.
And the open borders.
And the open borders.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. So what would I do? I guess I would begin by enforcing our borders, if necessary, putting the military on our borders so we can know exactly who is coming and going. What would you do?
before I answer that, you haven't answered my question.
Yes, I did.
I was talking about drugs.
And so was I.
You were talking about...
How do you think drugs get here?
Across the borders.
How do you think drugs for the most part...
Drugs get across the borders because there's a demand.
That's right.
And anything you do...
Anything I do won't stop it, huh?
It won't stop the demand.
Uh-huh. Well, I sure as hell could cut it down. I could cut down the supply.
Well, you couldn't cut down the demand, and there are people that, instead of being...
Well, you asked me what I would do, and I told you.
They'd pay $1,000 a gram.
I told you what I would do. Now, what would you do? Hello?
Yes.
Yes, what would you do?
I'm thinking. I don't know.
Okay, thanks.
Unknowable.
All right. Well, unknowable. Well, your answer to a lot of things you don't know is that it is unknowable. And with that course, no doubt something is going to shortly crash into our planet because it was unknowable that it was headed toward us. Oh, my. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Art. Raleigh calling from near Windsor.
Yes, sir.
And,
that would be Windsor, Ontario?
No, California. Just
Windsor,
Santa Rosa, KSRO country.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, on the frogs,
yes.
One thing that dawns on me is that those mutations, what is the gestation period of a frog? How long have they been in an egg and tadpole stage? This would have to be something that happened back then.
The answer is I don't know.
Okay. Also, you were talking about how would a mutated frog sound?
Yes.
How about Jim here? It's just basically ribbit backwards.
Yeah.
Jim here.
If I hear frog sounding like that, I'm gone.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Have a good one.
Yeah, take care. Anybody else want to give us a mutated frog sound? Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, you're on.
Oh, yes.
Jeez, I want to turn off the radio.
Yes, do that.
Can you summarize what's up with Mad Mad Markham? I thought you were going to go see his new device.
You mean you didn't hear?
I didn't.
Gone like a French fry.
What?
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
Dust. Dust to dust.
What, the device or Madman Markham?
Madman Markham.
What do you mean?
Psst. I mean, doesn't that have meaning to you? That's it.
That means he's dead.
Well, not necessarily. He has moved on to the next dimension.
Okay. Are you serious?
Yeah, it's nothing but a pile of dust on the floor.
No.
Yeah.
We
scooped it up, put it in a coffee can, and we're going to have a service. No, he hasn't done it yet. I don't know. I haven't heard from him. I've been trying to contact him. I can't find him.
On a totally different subject.
Yeah, sure. Try something else. Let's hear that.
Yeah. I was asking my psycho ex-girlfriend why...
Your psycho
ex-girlfriend,
okay.
Number two.
Yeah.
Why people or women her age weren't supporting Dole. And her answer
was
abortion. His stand on abortion.
Really?
Yeah.
Then you've got to wonder then why so many women supported Ronald Reagan, who had a very similar stand on abortion.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just an excuse, but there's a difference there. I mean, there's a huge difference in the support, male to female, for Dole versus Clinton.
They call it the gender gap.
Yeah.
And they talk about abortion, but the real truth may be that they just don't like Bob Dole's face.
I don't know. I think that'd be a really...
I'll tell you what. Go back and ask your psychologically challenged girlfriend to elucidate further and get to the real truth.
Yeah. Good idea.
All right, sir.
All right.
I appreciate the
call. Have a good one.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Do you wish to make a mutated frog sound?
No, I sure don't.
All right. Well, I can't say as I blame you. Thank you very much. First time caller line, you're on the air.
All right. Hi.
Hi.
Rick, KPNW.
11:20.
That was Rick, right? Not a mutated frog sound.
Not a mutated. No, sorry about that.
All right, Rick.
Thrilled to get through. I can't believe it.
I'm thrilled.
Vidian. I wanted to ask you about Vidian.
Yes.
I finally downloaded that on the computer.
You did,
does that,
eh?
Does that still work?
Oh, yes.
I got through to Bob Crane.
Yes, and what did you see?
He had it showing on a room, and there were some people moving around in there and talking. I'm not sure who they were.
Oh, that's good. They are alive!
They are alive. It really is cool.
It
Your
is
webpage
cool, yes.
has been the subject at work for the last couple of days.
Really?
Yes.
What are they saying?
And we were talking about the Levitron. One of the guys from work is going to buy one and bring it to work.
Well, you all will have fun with it. When I first tried my Levitron, I felt like throwing it through a window. And I couldn't get it to work. And that's true. And I urge you, when you get it, don't just think you can do it without watching the video. Watch the video.
Okay.
Trust me.
Okay.
Okay. So you'll love the Levitron. It really does what it says it does. And coming out soon will be the Perpetuator. It's not out yet, but that will keep the Levitron going indefinitely by pulsing it with magnetics. Pretty cool, huh?
Sounds cool.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm afraid my program is over. How would you like the honors?
I'd be honored.
You'd be honored. All right, let's hear your best shot.
Good night, America and Canada.
You know what you're doing. All right, my friend, thank you.
Thank you.
That, I think, is going to do it. We will be back tomorrow night. And don't forget, tomorrow night, Richard Hoagland. And I'm not exactly sure what he's going to talk about. It is a bit of a mystery. And when I pressed him, he said, well, it'll make you ask good questions, all right? So that's what we'll be doing tomorrow night. I suspect it has something to do with Egypt. And possibly, well, I won't say any more. We'll let him say it. Good night, America. Good night, Canada.